You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
With that guy who was in that movie that was out last year.
Earthling. I am the Bishop of Battle, Master of all I survey. I have 13 progressively harder levels. Try me if you dare.
I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had.
Please shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Sorry.
The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, well, it's a dream.
How about this song? Mama's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mama's little baby loves shortening bread.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Steve, it's me, Ted Nelson.
Of Ted Nelson Plumbing and Heating.
Steve, I want to help you.
Okay, fine. It's getting to the point where I don't want to help you.
Let me squeeze through here. Ted Nelson.
Ted Nelson.
Ted Nelson. Nelson, Nelson. 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 Nelson.
I'm looking for Josie Wales.
That'd be me.
You're wanted, Wales.
I reckon I'm right popular. You a bounty hunter?
Yeah, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy. You know, this isn't necessary. You can just ride on.
Now, speaking of dead people, there are things we say when someone dies, most of us say, a lot of us do, things we say that no one ever questions. They just kind of go unexamined. Give you a couple examples. After someone dies, the following conversation is bound to take place, probably more than once. This is usually said to the surviving spouse. Listen, if there's anything I can do, anything at all, please don't hesitate to ask. What are you going to do, a resurrection? This ain't the New Testament, you know. You know what you tell a guy like that who wants to help? Oh, fine, why don't you come over this weekend? You can paint the garage. Bring your plunger. The upstairs toilet overflowed and there's shit all over the floor up there. Do you drive a tractor? Good, that'll come in handy. The North 40 needs a lot of attention. Bring your chainsaw and your pickaxe. We're going to put your ass to work. He wants to help? Call his bluff. Call his bluff. Don't hesitate to ask. The nerve of these pricks.
You are good, Earthling, but not good enough. I am the Bishop of Battles, master of all I survey. Insert coin.
Hey, where are you guys going? Hey, come on back. Hey, I got some more quarters.
Go. It's getting late, JJ.
Hey, come on. Come on, I got some more quarters. Let's play another game. Just one more game. Well, go on home. Who needs you talentless clowns anyway? Get out of here.
Boo!
Hey, everybody! Hells yeah! We're back!
Woo-hoo. It's Friday. Nowhere in Mulberry's back. Yes. Episode 127. That's not funny. Hey, everybody, we're back. Our vacation's over, sadly. I'm not ready to come back, because it wasn't much of a vacation, but, Steven, the pop culture zud. Hey, I haven't seen you in ages.
Oh, wow.
Look at you. You've grown 2 inches. Getting older. What's
I've lost
up,
all
buddy?
My baby teeth.
Yeah, you lost all your baby teeth? How's it going, man? How's your vacation?
It was good, yeah. I mean, I got lots of rest. I've been to concerts after concerts.
Really?
Crazy.
You and I saw, did we see one movie or two movies? I can't remember.
Just one that I think of. Saw The Incredible Hulk.
That's right. I guess that's all we saw, isn't it? We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hi, I'm okay.
Bill, what's the matter, buddy?
Nothing, I'm all right.
What's the matter, little guy?
I'm okay.
We didn't get to hang out with Bill.
I hung out with Bill a lot,
Bill
actually.
Yeah.
Xbox Live, killing people with a sniper rifle.
Oh, that was
so.
Fun.
Yeah.
We love killing people with sniper rifles.
Well, you know, last Saturday, we had a little Xbox Live deathmatch thing going on Halo with Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, listener Brock, and the kid reviewer.
Yeah,
Wesley.
Andy's son, Wesley.
Yeah, who talks a lot of smack.
He does.
But he can't dish it out.
No, he cannot dish it out. I owned his ass.
Oh, you mean you killed him a lot in the game.
Yes.
Yes. But in...
I got to get mine hooked up so I can enjoy
Steven,
the
you
formalities.
Do. Get it
We've heard
up.
That a million times
Come on,
before.
Come on, Steven.
I'm working.
You do not know. You do not know how good it feels to throw a sticky grenade at Andy's head. And even though the grenade killed me, too, it was still worth it.
It was still worth it, yeah.
And friggin' Brock is so good at the game. Whenever you kill him, you're like, yeah, you bastard, die! You know?
What was so funny about it is that Brock was like, well, hey, you know, there's five of us. Why don't we do, you know, two teams against me?
Yeah.
And he still almost won. Jason and I pulled it out in, like, the last minute.
I know. Bill, you get really serious, too, in competition.
I do. I get way too intense.
Go, 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 go! Watch your six! Watch your six! No, you're not that bad, Ben.
I'm pretty bad.
Lay down a suppressing fire!
Well, Jason,
I've never said that.
I know. Fall back to the incinerators. Lay down a suppressing fire. Covering fire.
Well, that I have said.
Just once I want to say, form a triangle. I'll take the point. Charge! No prisoners!
Well, maybe once we get Battlefield Bad Company going, we can start doing that.
Yeah, we've been playing a demo on Xbox Live of that where it's multiplayer. Anybody can play all over the nation or whatever. And it's blue team against the red team. and you're trying
it's point
to-
capture, and it's not just the nation, it's the world, because one day and I were playing, and some guy's like, I speak no English. I am from Germany. And we're like, okay. And at one point, we had to ignore him and go into our own chat because he was so annoying.
Yeah, it's so funny because I'll say something, you know, because I'm like, well, do you think I should go this way? Oh, I'm sorry, English? No, understand? It's like, no, you know, just forget it, all right? This is pointless, but... There's people who have been playing these online death matches for a long time. So it's basically like going up against Rambo, Jack Bauer, whatever other one-man killing machine.
Yeah.
Like, there's times Bill will go, okay, there's a guy coming right towards you. Wait for him. And I'll be like, miss him. He's like, bang, once in the head. I'm dead. I'm like, what the hell, man? I can't hit shit. I panic. I'm like, oh, there's a guy there. There's a guy trying to kill me. And I'm like,
the worst in Battlefield Bad Company is you can knife someone. And when you knife them, you get their dog tags.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It's like a personal
It's like extra humiliation. Yeah. Like, this person has killed you with a knife.
I've just snuck up behind you, killed you, and I got your dog tag, bitch. It's like, damn.
Try and get him back.
So what
forever, you'll be on their list of shame.
Yes. So what I did is I became a sniper, you know, about 2 football fields away, then shoot people. That way no one sneaks up behind
in the bushes at the edge of the river.
Yeah, but it does feel great when it says headshot bonus. But when it's the other way around, when you're walking around, it says a sniper killed you. You're like, dude, it's not
the only thing it's missing is better death animation. Maybe it has it in the final version, but
I'm hoping
in the demo they just kind of go limp and fall.
Whereas
their heads need to explode like in the new Rambo movie.
You just hear that
right
of blood or whatever. But you know, hey, we had a fun vacation doing that, but. Part of my vacation, I wouldn't even call it that. First, my 4-year-old daughter had her adenoids and tonsils removed.
I love Altoids.
Adenoids.
Oh.
And so basically I was taking care of her for 2 weeks. No Xbox playing. No nothing. Because, you know, she is so sensitive to everything. Like, literally, I could say, hey, do you want me to make you some cereal? I don't want cereal. No, you don't have to have it. You know, just like that. You know, so I was like, it's okay. Just emotional. Because, you know, you had something traumatic done to your throat.
Yeah.
It hurts all the time. She got where she was sick of medicine, having to take medicine. So thank God that was like a long 2 weeks for her. Hey, I'm not going to complain. I wasn't in pain, but I didn't have time to do anything.
Well, most of that time I was in Colorado and I was flying back in late. And like the first... One of the last shows we did was, you know, I'm rushing straight from the airport here. And so it was good to be off because they kept scheduling me late. And so I wasn't having to rush anywhere when I got back.
Yeah, you didn't have to do the show. It was weird not
doing
the show.
No, just not having to rush. Not having to do the show.
That's
but
pretty
just,
selfish of you, Steve.
Just not having to rush and feel rushed.
Well, another thing is we did...
And listen to Rush.
We did get to see the Hulk, which we'll get into that in a bit. But... another thing is, this is kind of a bummer, but yesterday, the family cat was, like, murdered on our front lawn. I mean, it's really...
He was eviscerated by something.
I'm thinking,
sticky grenades.
Bill, I'm starting to think it was our next-door neighbor's dog, because I haven't seen that dog...
Since.
And it's always out there barking at stuff, and I look back there, I notice it's not there. So,
maybe died after...
Well, her claws were all bloody. Her mouth is bloody. So, you know, she got her licks in. But basically, my wife finds our cat with its stomach ripped open. You see ribs. You can see guts inside. And it's pretty horrible. I had to remove the cat so my daughter didn't see. We don't even want her to know right now. Especially, you know, you can't see something like that because it'll disturb you. I looked at her enough where I was disturbed and saddened. And I buried her, and it was really
even
sad.
Though you hated the cat.
You know what? I liked talking about how much I hated the cat, but I didn't hate her. I was the one who fed her. I was the one that cleaned her cat box. I was the one who took care of the cat. So naturally, I complained about having to take care of her all the time. But there's no way you want to see any creature killed like that. You know that happens in the wild. Bears eat animals.
Well, the cat disdain happened after... You had Emma, right? Because she was allergic to it.
So it became an outdoor cat.
Right. Our doctor recommended, because of asthma and stuff, that she should become an outside animal. And I can't remember if I had already thrown her out at that point or not.
if I'd already thrown her out.
You made her a garage cat
for a while.
She was an inside cat, and we turned her into an outside cat. We had to. We couldn't handle, because the cat starts acting weird when you have a baby, and when it urinates, you can't have it anywhere near a baby. That's when we did, when she was an infant. It was before we knew she had asthma, actually. It was when she was an infant. Because you shouldn't, I mean, I know there are people who have babies and have animals, and they keep them around, but I don't know.
You put her in the garage, and then it started getting summertime, so you cracked the garage so she could come and go.
And then she started peeing in the different parts of the garage.
Yeah, messing up the garage.
Basically, there's times where I cussed at the cat for crap like that, because I don't like cleaning up vomit, piss, or crap.
Does anybody?
Of anybody. And I just got sick of it, and I was like, you're living outside from now on. And she existed out there for how many years? 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah.
Until she was murdered yesterday.
Until you sentenced her to death.
Yeah, that's the same thing my dad said. He called me, and I was like, well, I'm getting ready to bury my cat. She was like half eaten when we found her. It was pretty gruesome. He goes, just think, if you wouldn't have made her live outside, she'd be alive right now. I was like, who the hell says something?
I know.
Hey, thanks, Dad.
At the time she was overweight, she might have died from a coronary.
Hey, gee, thanks, detective asshole. Really?
You put her outside and she got in shape.
She did. She was a fat cat.
She lost a lot of weight before she died.
Oh, Bill, that's not.
It's
too close, man. Make that joke a month from now, but it's too sad.
Okay. It's too soon.
Okay, Bill, picture your dog, your favorite dog, stomach ripped open, guts hanging out on the lawn. Tell me, see how much you joke, okay, buddy?
The dog I have now, I embrace it. He embraces.
Oh, no. See, you're the same way I was. I was always joking about how much I hated the cat.
Absolutely.
I would joke to Emma when I drive in the driveway. I go, you want me to hit the cat? She'd go, no! And I would just go, oh, I ran over the cat. Because it was funny, but it's not funny. It's not
funny. It's not fun.
It's really sad. But anyway, on a happy note, we have voicemail. People who missed us while we were gone. What do you say we get into that?
Okay.
And it's nice to see you, Bill and Steven, again. I miss you guys. Oh, and nimchat.com. We got some people in there, Bill. Let's give a shout out to everybody in there. Most of all, Glenn, who was the first person in there.
Always. They're dwindling in. Don Chep came in a little bit ago, but we have
M-Daddy-O,
Credo, me.
Oh, Credo's in there?
Yeah.
That turncoat?
He is a turncoat.
We're just going to tease you all the time, Credo, about
it. Oh, and Andy just popped his ass in.
Hey, it's Andy!
Andy 360.
Andy of the Hollywood Saloon. You know, I don't know why, because Andy's our buddy, but picking Andy off through a lens of a sniper rifle, it's just so satisfying, you know?
Well, the best part is whenever he thinks he's badass and he hops in like a flying vehicle and he... He comes down at me in this thing with his plasma cannons going, and I jump on it, rip him out of it, and drop him about 50 feet.
No, you know what Andy's favorite thing to do is to run you over in vehicles. How cool.
Oh, yeah.
Is that really cool, you know? Although it's fun to do that in Bad Company when you run over somebody in a tank or something.
Yeah, and then it shows like your name, tank marks, and then the person you killed.
Yeah, tread marks.
Like, yes.
All right, our first voicemail is the Mystery Man. Let's check it out.
Evening, fellas. Long-time listener, occasional caller.
Uh-oh, he's got his radio voice.
I'm sorry about bringing up Indiana Jones. I know that's two podcasts back.
Oh, man, that's a long time ago.
I tend to download a bunch of these things and listen to them all at once while I'm on travel and stuff. So
it's all right.
I had seen the movie, and then I was like, oh, boy, an Indiana Jones podcast. So I downloaded that immediately and listened to that along with the two or three that I had missed in front of that, which is why I haven't called, by the way. I have to agree with Andy and Phil. I mean, I went into this thing with a lot of expectation. I mean, I'm the kind of geek that would go to see these things in the theater wearing an Indiana Jones costume. Yeah, don't hate me.
And, no, we don't hate you. We pity you.
There were so many places they could have gone with an older Indiana Jones, the pathos, losing his dad and losing Marcus, and just getting older and not being as physically active as he once was. And, you know, 1950s America, McCarthyism, and the nuclear weapons. And,
there's a lot of stones left unturned, I'd say.
All these cool things that you could have woven into the plot with, you know, with the 50s, which is really kind of an unvisited era in cinema, in my opinion, at least lately. And they kind of dropped the ball.
Well, in the 50s, they visited a lot.
They didn't kind of. They dropped the ball in a horrendous, horrible way.
No, if they would have dropped a ball, it would have been a cool,
disappointing
to the first Raiders Lost Ark
of CGI, stupid animatronic effects, and I, for the first time in my life, I fell asleep in an Indiana Jones movie, and I just bought the DVD to the, you know, the recent re-release of all three movies.
You were supposed to. You were suckered
into
it.
I was watching them, sort of. To prep up to see this movie, and there's just no comparison. I mean, even the piece of crap middle film, Temple of Doom.
Hey, I like Temple of Doom.
I do too.
There's more humanity in it.
We are going to die.
That is the best scene ever. And that face he makes.
It's a good versus evil story. This thing.
I'm going to say Temple of Doom. I like it better than The Last Crusade.
So do I.
A soggy mess. I mean, the plot meandered all over the place. I never really was clear on what
was
what.
The bad guy in The Last Crusade is so weak.
And, you know, I didn't really find myself cheering for anybody. It was
hey, me neither, bud.
Waste of time.
I found myself cheering for at the end.
So long, but, you pushed the button with this. Talk to you guys later.
I apologize for that.
And don't go off the air, for God's sake.
No,
goodbye.
Sorry. Well, obviously you sent this a month ago, so it's a little dated.
Yeah.
But we got a voicemail from M. Daddy-O. Hey, he's in the chat room right now. You can hear yourself.
Hey, Daddy-O.
Hey, Daddy-O. When I see M. Daddy-O, I want to go, hey, boo-boo. Hey, Daddy-O.
I want to sing Big Bad Voodoo Daddy songs.
Hi, Mulberry Gang. This is Mark M. from Antioch, California. M. Daddy-O on the forums. Just
couldn't
wanted to
sound
say
more
you
excited.
Guys are great and make me laugh.
Really?
You
could have shocked us.
At least 10.
You guys crack me up.
Take care, guys.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye. You make me laugh lots.
M. Daddy-O, get off the ledge, buddy. It's okay. Cheer up.
There's a lot to live for.
You know, we've got another voicemail, but this is kind of weird. Obviously, a lot of people who listen to the Hollywood Saloon, they've come to listen to us because Andy's recommended us a lot of times.
Or vice versa.
Right. I mean, if you listen to our show, you also know that Andy listens to our show. You know that he's on the show occasionally for a while, like every episode for a couple of weeks. So someone sent us a voicemail to Andy because I guess they know he will hear it.
Oh.
And the Hollywood Saloon doesn't put out shows anymore. Or they never have played voicemail on their show. I'm just kidding,
no.
Andy. But
they're just taking a break.
Right. They're taking a vacation just like we did, but instead of a month, it's more like a year. Just kidding again, Andy. So anyway, here's a Hollywood Saloon voicemail, so let's be silent, guys. It has nothing to do with us. Let's check it out.
Hi, this is Stanley Middleton, and I'm really nervous about this is actually a voicemail for the Hollywood Saloon, and they don't take voicemail, but I always hear Andy on your show. And
is this guy in puberty? What the hell?
I like the Hollywood Saloon. I mean, I like your show too, but it's like I like your show too, but it's not the same as the Saloon. Cause, I learned from the Saloon and your show. I just laugh a lot. And, the Hollywood Saloon, they, talk about movies and stuff, but they go more in depth on stuff and is, well, I can't wait for the Kubrick Masterclass, and my question to Andy is, the Kubrick Masterclass is coming out soon, I hope, And I'm still waiting for what you thought of Iron Man. And I want to know what John Jansen thought of Iron Man and Speed Racer, because I thought Speed Racer really sucked, and I can't believe you guys liked it. For little kids, you guys must be little kids. I didn't mean to insult anybody. I was just playing and being funny.
No one's offended, I hope.
Is he done?
Star Wars at Home is my favorite episode. Bye.
What the hell was that?
Mine too.
Wow. I guess Andy has some transsexuals listening to the show. I'm just going to say, he sounded like a creepy transsexual serial killer from
a
movie.
He sounded like that, the world's tallest woman.
You're right. It's probably a Stanley, though. I figured it was a woman. It's someone with a lot of estrogen in their system.
Veronica Stanley. Who was her last name?
Yeah, no, Stanley Middleton or something like that.
But first name, but Veronica.
Hey, Andy, if you want to call in and answer his voicemail or whatever, go ahead, feel free to it. Meanwhile, before we get into entertainment, Steven, this is for you.
Uh-oh. Steve, I want to help you.
What?
I need some help.
Steve, it's Ted. Let me help you.
Okay, Ted. You can help me.
Steve! Help me!
He wanted to help him. Now he needs help.
Send out to Steve. It's me, Steve!
Steve! He's trying to get a hold of you. Steve,
don't you know? It's Ted Nelson.
Let me help you.
Bill was like, hey, you got to check this out. It was an MS... T3K of the incredible melting man.
Yeah, during a vacation, I like, one of my main pleasures in life is Mystery Science Theater 3000. You know, discovered it in high school from a guy that worked with my dad who was from Minnesota, and he was like, hey, you got to check this out. And he gave me the original KTMA tapes, and I watched them, just fell in love with them. So now I try to watch one a week, and, you know, so the other day I chose Incredible Melting Man. I was watching it just busting out laughing. And, of course, I have to say something to you, Jason. And you found it – I found it on YouTube and sent it to you.
Yeah. And you know how MST3K is, you chuckle for a bit. You're like – you're laughing and you're chuckling. But all of a sudden there's something that just like bang and you're like crying because it was so funny. And I have to show you the shot of it, Steven, for it to even be funny. And I'm not even going to explain the scene because it's not funny unless you see it and it's visual. But
And you don't even register it at first.
But this guy in the movie, Ted Nelson, he mentions his name a lot and they start making a joke out of it. And he's always talking about helping his friend Steve.
Steve, I want to help you.
All right, guys, let's check out Ed's assignment. All right, WALL-E comes out today.
Yeah. Gosh, I wanted to go see it so bad today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew the reviews are going to be incredible. It's a Pixar film. They do everything right. I can't wait to take my daughter. You know, the marketing for this thing is so genius. I mean, months ago, my daughter was saying, look, Daddy, WALL-E. And she knew who he was just based on little things you see here and there. It wasn't like it was a mass advertising thing. It was just little subtle things. And it was that first trailer that was online. You know, you show it to your kid, then they know it. They know what it is, and they're waiting like a year. And then when it comes out, every kid in the United States knows who WALL-E is, and they're ready to go see it. So that movie's going to clean up. That's why I think it's weird that Wanted is coming out this weekend. It's and it's rated R, which is cool, because they don't release rated R action movies anymore. But it's going to get trounced by a WALL-E, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. WALL-E will probably make four times what Wanted makes.
Oh, definitely. Oh, and we have a phone call. You're on the air on Nowhere in Mulberry.
Hello, my fine gentleman.
It's Andy of the Hollywood Saloon.
Hello, Andy.
Hey, did you...
Andy of the Xbox 360 Elite.
I'm sure Andy's enjoying gaming, right?
Apostle X2.
Yep.
Because he loves the X-Men 2 sequel.
Now, did you get to hear your voicemail there, Andy?
I did. That was a beautiful thing. And that's Let me tell you, that's Rowena. I think her name is Rowena. It is a girl.
My and, God, I'm sorry.
She sends me mail all the time, like snail mail from. She sends me her travel logs from all over the world. She goes to a lot of weird places. So.
Well, why does she call herself Stanley?
Because it's just a thing with the voice, and she grew up, and her friends always called her Stanley.
Is it the world's tallest woman? Is that Rowena?
No. I think she's like an inch shorter.
is the world's tallest woman a fan of the saloon?
That I don't know. I've heard rumors.
Okay.
Hey, now, Andy, it doesn't become a beating at all being asked about the Kubert Masterclass, does it?
No, not at all, because I can shovel it all off on my good buddy John Jansen at this point, because it's all in his ballpark now. So I got my beating for the James Bond show for about 8 months. So now it's his turn to get whippings for the Kubrick show. So.
So Andy, how do you feel about Barry Lyndon? I'm kidding. Good times.
Most boring movie ever made.
As a matter of fact, let's do the Kubrick Masterclass right now.
Yeah, we're springing it on
Nowhere in Mulberry.
Let me just connect with John Jansen, and I'll have you guys take over.
Did hell just freeze over?
Hey, now, Andy, this is a good opportunity to ask you about The Incredible Hulk, because we all saw it, and none of us have talked about it yet. Did we like it?
Did we like it? We liked it. Hey, Mikey, I couldn't believe it. I was actually stunned that I as the movie progressed, I went in with my bad attitude and my...
Boy,
and,
did you.
Ready to rip, and boy, I was stunned when I was like, okay, I like it. Okay, I like this. Okay, I'm liking this.
And did you like how they didn't even really poo-poo on Ang Lee's Hulk? It could even still exist, you know?
That's the thing that I liked the most was it didn't just say that film didn't exist. It still exists with a couple of changes here and there. It's almost like when you do a James Bond movie and you change the main actor, but you keep the storyline.
Yeah, so it mean, still happened.
Right, exactly. I mean, I still believe that, you know, what's his name? God, I can't
Nick Nolte.
I can still believe that certain Bonds did other Bonds' jobs. Nick Nolte. So, yeah.
Now, Steven, you liked it.
I think that the Ang Lee version is even more interconnected with this version in the 70 minutes that was actually cut out of this version. Because the studio, well, that's what they said. The studio wanted less story, more action.
They started getting very nervous with a little too much Bruce Banner. Okay, hey guys, let's get back to the action. And I got to see the action was really cool. And what's cool is hopefully when the Blu-ray comes out, the DVD, like I was saying this to you, Bill, hopefully it's not deleted scenes. Hopefully they make this long cut.
Yeah, like that seamless branching where you can choose to watch theatrical or the full cut.
Because I'm going
to
say I saw trailers that had scenes in it that weren't in the movie. So
yeah.
See, and I was telling Jason that I thought probably the best thing about it was we all know the backstory, so they didn't have to waste.
Yeah, that the opening credit sequence was genius.
That was perfect.
That was great. Yeah,
I might be wrong, but I think that. Peter Berg kind of created that inform the audience opening credit sequence with the kingdom.
It works.
Well, like, I'm not sure if that's the first time.
Yeah,
I
doubt he invented that.
I think he perfected it.
Most recently, that's the film that comes to mind that did that.
Well, but, yeah, in my mind. I don't know who else has
essentially
done
what
that.
It is it's a recap on a TV show, but in a movie. Which is cool. Yeah. And there wasn't a previous movie doing that. It's just kind of like pretending like, hey, this already happened. We're going to show it to you in this kind of...
Well, and you know what's interesting? If you had not even seen the Ang Lee and only seen the TV show, I think you'd be okay too. Because there was a lot of, you know, throwbacks and homages to the TV show, which I really appreciated. And my son thought I was nuts when, you know, Lou Ferrigno showed up and I started laughing. I go, awesome! And
he's like... Oh, yeah. And by the way, how great is the Stan Lee moment?
That was great. Yeah. He drank the tainted juice.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was one of the...
Oh, tainted juice.
Because he does a cameo in every Marvel film, and I think this is probably the best one.
Yeah, I think I want to see what he looked like, though. Did he Hulk out after he drank that blood, or did he get poisoned?
No,
he
just Stanley yeah.
That he got poisoned.
No, they're saving.
I think he had a heart attack.
They're saving that for Who Wants to Be a Superhero season 3. So
he's the Abomination too.
yeah. Tim Roth was great too.
That was an interesting thing. Who is the guy? You know, the Mad Professor guy, and they drop the blood on him, and his head starts spewing out. So you know
the leader.
Yeah,
you know that he's going to end up being somebody in the future film.
Oh, and you like that we got ties to Captain America with the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah,
we got Tony Stark was in the film, and the Sonic Cannons were Stark Industries, right?
Nick Fury was mentioned again.
Yeah, Nick Fury was mentioned. Thankfully, we didn't have to see him.
See the black Nick Fury?
I could pretend he was white while watching the movie because they didn't show him.
Racist.
You're racist, man. You're racist.
And I was like, he's white. He's the white Nick Fury is who they're talking about, not Samuel L. Jackson. Don't put Samuel L. Jackson in a role like that because he's Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to rant about this again. But
what's interesting, though, you know, this was supposed to be the big relaunch and everything, but it's interesting if you go over to Box Office Mojo, they've got this comparison chart going of Hulk versus Hulk. And what's crazy is that right now, the Ang Lee is still outperforming the new film. And so everyone's saying, you know, the new film's doing well, but really, in comparison, even when you consider that this new film cost more than the original one did,
right?
It's not performing up to the level that they want. But I still think that it's successful in that it gives you, you know, there's no part where you have to really say, well, I want to omit the third act because that was really the problem with the original film.
Right. It's got a cool third act. The only thing I wanted was for, if you haven't seen this, this is a little spoiler here, but when Liv Tyler says stop to him at the end, I'm like, why? You know what I'm talking about? She tells the Hulk to stop when he's strangling the Abomination.
Why not kill the Abomination? I think there's stuff.
Why not crush
I kind of vibe that there was holes in this thing. You know, I thought the transition between the Colonel hunting him for all those years, and then all of a sudden, oh wait, we need you to go fight the Abomination now. We're all on the same team together.
Yeah,
kind of a abrupt about face right there, and so I kind of feel like we're missing something there. Maybe.
Well, yeah. At the same time,
I'd have been like, "F you, use your sonic cannons."
Yeah. At the same time, though, he kind of had a relationship with Tim Roth, and he knew he was the kind of guy who would never stop at anything what he wanted, in a way.
Yeah, true.
You know?
That's true.
Steve, it's Ted. Let me help you.
Yeah, exactly. So
yes,
Ted Nelson wanted to save the Abomination in part of the movie, but they cut it all out. So I can't.
Now, the movie for me didn't really sell itself until the third act. That's whenever I finally went,
Steve,
okay.
Steve, I want to help you.
All right, Ted.
Was that gamma radiation that affected Steve?
Yeah. Now, you know what? The way I left the theater, I was very happy. I'm pleased with the Hulk. I can't wait to own it on Blu-ray. But let's go ahead and compare it to Iron Man. Iron Man I wanted to see again immediately.
Yes.
The Hulk, I can't wait to see it on Blu-ray. But, you know, I didn't want to, like, rush right back to the theater. But there are sequences in it that are really kick-ass, and I can't wait to see it. So it's definitely a pass.
I think myself that I was so prepared to not like it that, I mean, I really am having a hard time judging it. And now, granted, Hulk is like one of my favorite characters from my youth. And so I really tend to like him a lot and like the story behind it. I really felt that they nailed this as the comic book character more so than they did.
It felt like really a comic book.
It felt like the Hulk I grew up with, you know, Hulk Smash.
Even though Ang Lee's Hulk had the comic panels and all that.
Sure. But I think this was truer to the tradition of Marvel comics.
What we've had to live with comic book adaptations and film is the studios almost in a way trying to sever ties to the comic book. We want to tie this to the real world for the audience that doesn't read comic books, so they enjoy it too. But I think one thing that Iron Man showed and now the Hulk is if you're faithful to the comic book, you can still have an entertaining movie. It doesn't have to exist in this world that's separate from comic books for people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The good thing that we can all be really excited about with this is that Marvel is doing it right, and they're doing these crossovers. I mean, didn't it just give you chills when Tony Stark said we're building a team? It's just like, oh, hell yes. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's going to be cool. And I just hope they do Captain America right, man. It's going to be hard
gotta,
to pull
they
off.
They got to keep pulling it off. I hope that they can. It's going to be tough to do.
You could do Iron Man in CGI. You could do Hulk in CGI. But Captain America is a dude just standing there. How are you going to pull that off without him looking like a friggin' jackass, you know?
It's going to be hard, and it's going to be hard to pull off because Captain America, I mean, is really a World War II hero. They've got to do some kind of freezing thing, or they've got to do it in that time span and freeze him, or
well,
I don't know.
So in the comic books, he's frozen. Oh, is this a spoiler also, Bill? He's frozen in the Arctic. And he's found in modern day, and that's how.
Well, that'll be a spoiler for the uncut version of the Hulk.
Well, no, I'm just saying in the Captain America comic book.
Oh, because you know, that scene was cut from the Hulk.
Captain America that's was how. Invented in World War II, and they wanted to find a way to bring Captain America to modern times, and so they did that in the comic book, and that's how he gets to modern time. And you could even do that. Trying to adjust to modern times kind of thing.
Oh, God, please don't let it be Forever Young.
What are these cell phone things? Yeah, Forever Young, watching the exercising on the TV or whatever.
The only thing I can truly say that I want from the Hulk series is I know they want to do this real world stuff, but I would love to see some of like the Greg Pak era comics adapted, like World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, like the hard sci-fi Hulk stuff, because I thought I thought that fit better than any of the other like original Hulk or Hulk TV stuff. But I know they won't do that. That's my dream.
Basically, you
know,
the Hulk is the fugitive.
They should take advantage of their, you know, how they've been doing all those animated films. That's where they should do that.
Yeah. Like yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
They did an Iron Man film, and they did the Avengers and all that, Doctor Strange.
Basically, if there's not another Hulk, he will at least appear in the Marvel movies, like the Avengers movie. So,
Yeah, and which one, which version is it going to be the version that they have to stop, or is it going to be the version that works together?
I have no idea. I would think that they would probably be the version that works together. They would fight him at first and then, or whatever, you know what I mean? Because they showed at the end that Bruce Banner has figured out how to turn into the Hulk at will in a way.
True.
Hinted at that.
But
so.
Can he still control the Hulk?
Yeah,
he may be
know.
Able to turn into him at will, but can he control him?
Yeah, see, there you always have to have that conflict, otherwise it's not interesting.
He won't have Betty there saying, stop!
Crush his friggin' head, man. Don't listen to her. Come on.
Finish him.
He was destroying the whole town. All right.
Fatality.
Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo. What do you say?
Thanks, Andy.
All right, guys. I'm going to chill out and listen, so stay cool.
All right. Thanks, Andrew of the Hollywood Saloon.
You got it, guys. 360.
360. Okay.
That's his new out phrase.
Stand out to save. It's me.
Stop, Ted. Leave me alone.
Dave, I want to help you.
Oh, God.
I don't need any help, Ted. Leave me alone.
All right, guys. There's a lot of shows we missed. We didn't finish Battlestar Galactica. And you know what, guys? I haven't watched the last 3 hours of Battlestar Galactica. So if you guys don't mind, can we save it till next week?
Yeah, really?
All right.
I mean,
we've been busy. Okay, I have no friggin' clue as to what's happened in the final 3 hours. So
and they're all dead.
No, spoiler alert! Damn it! But we will talk.
They're
about
all Cylons.
We'll talk about Top Chef. We'll talk about Hell's Kitchen, and we'll even talk about the two Coreys.
Yes.
That's back. That stuff is genius. But first, let's talk about the Daytime Emmy Awards, because there was one moment that I knew was show-worthy for us. It's because Tyra Banks won an Emmy. Would she say the word booty in her acceptance speech?
Yes.
There's no way possible. Why would she even say that?
I thought it was going to be whore bath or something.
Let's check it out.
The Emmy goes to The Tyra Banks Show!
I just have a message for everybody out there. When you have a dream, there are going to be so many people that tell you that you cannot do it, that you are not good enough. And I want you to tell them to kiss your dimply, flat, juicy, bootylicious, jiggly, saggy, fat ass!
Good Lord, you think she's a little amped up there?
You think she's a little bitter about being pretty much kicked out of modeling because she's a fat ass?
No, she retired technically, Bill.
Oh.
Hey, did you guys know Billy Bush has a radio show? What I think is funny is he's on Entertainment.
Shit, why am I not listening?
He's on Entertainment Tonight, but he plugs his own radio show in this total non-story. Just listen to how pointless this story is, okay?
The pains of divorce never end for Charlie and Denise. Yesterday, she called into my Billy Bush radio show after five voicemails left by Charlie
Billy Bush radio show
were unearthed. The N-word was just one of almost 40 profanities unleashed.
Oh, dear.
I'm so used to this. That's why I when I got the call, I'm like, what phone messages? This, you know.
At the time of the messages, Denise was pregnant with their second daughter, Lola, and embroiled in a bitter custody battle over the children.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl.
Lola Cabana. Okay, so basically that meant nothing. And Denise Richard has her own show on E! I don't know what it's called.
It's called It's Complicated.
Right, right. Okay, so here she's interviewing for a nanny or whatever they hire in Hollywood to take care of your kids while you're out, you know, living your life.
Work or...
Yeah, let's check it out.
Do you drink? Occasionally. Do you smoke? No. Do you do drugs?
Not anymore. No, just kidding.
Do you ever drink and drive?
All the time.
I'm getting really nervous right now.
Would you like something to drink?
Can I have a shot of vodka? Two shots?
I like to, like, sunbathe topless.
Whoa.
So you would be comfortable coming over and...
Can I take a picture with you?
Okay.
Can I rub my genitals on your head?
Did you guys know that the Family Feud is back?
Hosted by
Al Roker.
Oh yeah.
And here was Celebrity Family Feud. They had stars like Joan Rivers. And Ice-T and his family.
I guess. How are they getting these relevant people?
Let's check it out. It's awesome. And listen how Ice-T, I guess they don't bleep on the show. They do that buzz sound.
Oh, that's clever.
Whenever you like, hey, Steven, you mother. Yeah, okay. So let's check it out.
We surveyed 100 people. Top five answers are on the board. Name something that's slippery and hard to hold on to. Ice-T.
What did he say?
He gave the wrong answer. He didn't say anything.
First thing came to my mind. I need this job.
You wanted the Ice-T answer.
See, I didn't say that. But show me Captain Winky.
You can say penis on television.
Then they lied.
Oh, shut up, Joan.
You know, Ice-T said my. But you're allowed to say penis on television. I'm pretty
when
sure.
is your penis ever so slippery you can't hold on to it? Honestly, that is the weakest answer I've ever heard.
I know. The obvious answer is...
Oh, my God, it's so slippery, I can't hold on to it.
I think the number one answer was giant anaconda, so.
Oh.
So, Mary-Kate Olsen was on Letterman, and she was talking about making out with an old guy. Let's check it out.
Sir Ben's amazing, and Josh.
Sir Ben Kingsley, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he's tremendous. He was on this program. What a guy he was, and that must have been a great experience to be able to get and meet and talk with the guy.
Make out. Yeah. We did a lot of talking.
He's really attractive. His penis is so slippery, I can't hold on to it.
You make out in the film?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But now, what was that? Because how old is he, for God's sakes? He's like my age, isn't he?
I think so.
You kissed a really old guy.
Gandhi.
Yeah, he kissed Gandhi. Just gets better and better, doesn't it?
So let
shut up, Paul.
Yeah, Paul. What does he get to talk on the show?
I mean, he couldn't fill Ed McMahon's shoes. I almost call him Ted McMahon.
Yes.
And that's funny, Dave.
Now here's Letterman flirting with Will Smith now. And,
oh, good Lord.
Let's check it out. And some man-kissing goes on.
Is this show endorsed by the GLAAD organization now?
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to answer it. But you look like
a talk show. So.
Yeah. You look, every time I see you, you just look better and better. And I'm wondering.
Because he's clearing his feet.
Because when you get to be my age, you start thinking about that. No, stop it.
It's the Paul Schaefer Show.
Once you go black, you never go back, Dave.
And now, this is taking an unforeseen direction. Man. But
going black is one thing, but this is ridiculous.
Steve, it's Ted. Let me help you.
I think Dave needs some help.
Wow. So, yeah, we're hurting.
Way to perpetuate those stereotypes, Mr. Smith.
Yes. And, you know, we know why he's looking better each time he sees him, right, Bill?
Yes.
Each time he's another step up. He's another operating level.
He's another step closer to the other side of the bridge to total freedom.
Exactly. Sweet. Now, there's this horrible show on the CW called Farmer Wants a Wife.
Oh, my God. I've seen that a handful of times. And I wanted to rip my eyes out and my ears off.
Did you see the finale?
No, thank God.
The way they reveal the winner, who he picks, he's got the two women standing there. You will know who I choose to love, who I want to be my wife, when this crop duster flies by with the winner's name. And it takes literally like 20 minutes for the friggin' thing to drive by, and people start slowly clapping, and it's crop duster, and
it releases
a toxin that kills everyone. So it's pretty awesome.
That would be awesome.
So I thought we'd have a crop duster come over with a banner, and the gal's name that's on the banner is the young lady that I chose to be my wife.
Can you just tell
her? I can't take this.
You're so romantic.
Here it comes.
Everybody get down! It's got a gun!
Ladies. One heck of a ride.
Yeah, it'll be here any minute now. Here it comes. Anti-aircraft missile.
I hand this pitchfork to the meanwhile get alive.
Monica!
And since it's audio, I don't know who won.
Oh, dude.
That was the crop dusting, I think.
Man, that crop duster's flashing.
You gotta love the crop dusting. Oh, okay. Anyway, The Bachelorette does stuff. Let's check it out.
I am saying goodbye to the one person that I thought I was falling in love with.
Why? Isn't the point for you to pick the person you love?
That's how hard this is for me.
Well, it shouldn't be hard. It should be easy.
Because the one person that I let my guard down and was falling for was not doing the same to me.
What?
And I can't take the chance that in the end I would be standing there and you wouldn't choose me in return.
I don't think that's the way it works.
When you leave, it ends here. It was extremely hard to let Graham go because I'm falling in love with him. My heart is breaking right now. All I had to do was open up. I'm tired of dating people that don't know what they want.
She talks a lot about herself, doesn't she?
And now I'm scared that
he's very selfish.
I'm second guessing my decision. First and foremost, I want to be in love.
Aww.
And what if that doesn't happen?
Everyone.
Fat ass!
Steve, I want to help you.
Good Lord, Tyra.
Tyra needs some help. So Brooke won, who was the kind of large-jawed brunette, and Krista, the earring-covered girl from New York, blonde, lost. So she, there you go. If in case you really wanted to know.
Oh, on Farmer Wants a Wife?
Yeah, I just looked it up. Sorry, jeez.
Okay, I want you guys to listen closely to this clip. The real world, we all know it's a train wreck, but this chick, the goody-goody chick, gets really drunk, and she voms on camera into a bucket. Just listen to the crystal-clear vomit audio. It is genius. Whoever did this, Gary Rydstrom, something like that.
They must have her mic professionally.
It's excellent. Pristine sound quality. And then the black guy...
I have a
feeling
we'll be using this a lot.
What are you talking about, Steve? Then the token black guy who lives in the house, he goes to get his camera. He wants to take pictures of this drunk bitch. And she gets all pissed off at him. And her insult to him makes no sense. I don't... Let's check it out.
Okay, there she goes immediately. Okay,
trash can immediately.
Trash can immediately.
Whoa!
You got it, girl. Oh, I'm just gonna die. No, you're not.
You're gonna die. Well, just pray that it isn't coming out your ass.
They're spitting.
Kidding.
This is a moment.
No, it's not.
Get the out.
Why is it not?
You don't take a picture of this. You've been here for 2 weeks. Get the out of my room.
Is it that serious, sir?
Nick, who the do you think you are, Charles? Barkley?
What?
That's what you look like. Get the out.
Who do you think you are, Charles effing Barkley?
Is that a compliment?
That's what you look like. Get the F out. What?
You look like a basketball star.
What does that mean?
You might as well have just went, you're black, huh?
What are you, Charles Barkley? I don't understand what that means.
I don't think she did either.
Good God!
You can hear, like, the cheeks flapping from the vomit coming through. Oh.
Steve, it's Ted!
Oh, please, Ted, go away.
Oh! Steve! Oh!
Sorry, I was sick.
Okay,
Ted
now...
Ted can hold back my hair.
Ted! Steve, let me hold your hair for you. I know you've drank a little too much, Steve. Oh!
Nothing else I can help you.
All right, now on Tila Tequila...
Is this not over in the screen wreck?
I think it is, but they did the reunion show. Do you remember the episode where the guy headbutt the other guy, then punched him and broke his jaw?
Yes.
And
thankfully,
no. This shows you how ridiculous the show is because they have that guy back. He was kicked off the show for violence. He freaking assaulted the guy. The guy should be in jail, technically.
Let's bring him back.
They bring him back, but put him into a cage on the stage
so he can't
get to the guy.
But so now he's a go-go dancer.
So this whole thing, it's supposed to be funny. He's supposed to sit there, and the other guy's in a cage. But that guy, you know, he punched a guy. He assaulted someone on TV. He's not going to go along with a bit. He starts insulting the guy again and starts talking about his mother. He gets the guy all riled up.
Starts shaking the cage and throwing his feces.
Get in the cage with me, you know, cage match. And just listen to this. And none of this is understandable at all, but, hey, it's gold audio. That's all I have to say. You know what I'm saying, Steven?
Play it.
Oh.
This is for all my boys. I'll hold you safe.
Come on in, Bo.
Bo, keep it. Bo, don't do it. Don't do it, Bo.
Don't go by mom like that. You never talk about my mother again. I swear to God.
Hey,
I swear to God. It's your face.
Gonna talk about my mother. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares for the jackass is like your mother?
Like, how old are you?
Like, dude, the producers stage all this so this would happen for their TV show. They want you to get pissed off, you friggin' moron. Jerry, Jerry. That's basically all the shit is.
One of the mothers of the guy should have stood up and went, you know what, really? It's okay. I am a whore.
Thanks for defending my honor on MTV.
Right, we're going to get this resolved. We're going to get take.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
That's truly the only way to resolve that.
Wow, what a train wreck. There's a show called Hopkins, Bill.
Yes. And would that involve John Hopkins, the hospital?
Yes. Okay. And this, I don't even know what the show is, honestly. There's this chick.
I think it's just a reality show where they follow doctors or interns at John Hopkins.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a very interesting show. Just from the little bit I watch, it was interesting. But it also got a little uncomfortable because it's about the first female urologist there. So she's asking men to drop their pants in front of her. So she's, you know, looking at your junk and all that stuff. But the patient kind of takes it to a weird place at the end. Let's check it out.
Hi, it's Dr. Boyle. When I decided to go into urology, I had to become really comfortable with all the words and all the problems and just talk like, you know, we're talking about the weather.
If you have a
penis,
testicles hurt.
The first time that someone has to pull down their pants and you have to examine them.
Relax.
I just act like it's everyday thing because it really is.
Okay. Now I'm going to have you cough for me. Kidney stones, sexual dysfunction, groin pain, scrotal pain. These things are really common.
You guys get the old checklist.
I never thought it would be an attractive young lady to be my urologist when Dr. McFarlane referred me. You get that all the time, I'm sure.
No, it really doesn't make a difference.
No, actually, I don't. But
that makes a difference is I have smaller fingers.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and squeeze your testicles as hard as possible now.
The only thing don't worry about your penis getting larger. That happens sometimes.
Oh.
Please! Help me!
I need a urologist!
Does your testicles hurt?
Does your testicles hurt?
My testicles have enlarged.
Why would you ask a woman that if her testicles hurt?
Because sometimes women have testicles.
What?
Serious. Oh, good Lord.
Like the guy who called Hollywood?
Hi, this is
No, please don't play that again.
All right, guys, let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll talk Hell's Kitchen and the two Corys, Top Chef, and then the news. Remember, we're saving BSG for next week because I'm behind and I ruined everything. So I want to apologize to everyone in advance.
Fat ass!
Hey, that is mean, okay? You don't do that. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Well, go on home. Who needs you talentless clowns anyway? Get out of here.
Steve, it's Ted. Let me help you.
Breakfast, kids. Okay, Mom.
Introducing new E.T., children's chewable vitamins, with one-third more of eight essential vitamins and 30% less sugar than the leading children's vitamin.
Race you downstairs.
In four delicious fruity flavors with a lot less sugar. And there's an iron formula, too.
E.T.
New E.T. vitamins from Squib.
E.T., I love you.
E.T. is what a children's vitamin should be.
Live on stage for the first time, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
Wait, that's it,
it's not the movie soundtrack, dudes! This is rock and roll! Now get your kids their hot new audio cassette and concert tour book for $3.99, only at Pizza Hut. Why Pizza Hut? Because they don't sell pizza in record stores, dude!
Drive away your worries and cares at this drive-in theater, where you will see the finest motion pictures of all time soon to be released. Drama, comedy, adventure, excitement, something for everyone. Here's a brief glimpse of some of the truly fine pictures we've scheduled in the near future.
Your crucifix.
Street Part 3. Freddy's just around the corner.
Astronaut Stephen West was returning from outer space. But something terrible had happened.
His mind is so completely decomposed.
We've got to find him. Stephen West had turned into the Incredible Melting Man. The Incredible Melting Man is the first new horror creature. Come prepared. Rated R.
Masters!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you. Blinded us to the truth.
Look. They are safe as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them.
Stay away from me.
Put these on.
They have us.
Look at them. They're everywhere. Our owner.
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble. Control us! You're sending some kind of signals on a TV set.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletales.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go!
Push button.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Fun.
I need to go to that drive-in.
I want to see if they live in a drive-in.
Steve, it's me, Ted Nelson.
Oh, God. Ted who?
Ted Nelson?
I love that guy.
It's Ted Nelson, Steve! It's me, Steve!
It's more dramatic.
Wait, he just said he was Ted Nelson.
It's me, Steve! Ted Nelson? But anybody who has not seen The Incredible Melting Man, MST3K, you need to. It's awesome.
Just for the nurse that runs through the glass door. Might
yeah.
possibly the funniest thing I've ever seen,
because
ever.
It's so just out of left field, it doesn't make any sense. The door's so, not locked, just open it, you know?
We like a soul catcher.
No, Soul Taker! The Robert Zadar in there.
Yeah.
Why is his face so tiny? Where does he put his nuts? Because he's got that big face. I love it. That's on YouTube also. All that
stuff. Almost all of them are, and that's just terrific.
It's like broken down into chapters. It's genius.
Yeah, normally it's 10 parts.
Now, okay.
Why is his jaw so tiny?
It's so tiny. Now, okay, on Hell's Kitchen, who was the big goofy guy, Matt, that we couldn't stand?
Yes.
Matt.
He finally got eliminated. And the best part about that episode was, he screwed up really bad and he had a migraine headache.
He blamed it on a migraine.
And when Gordon Ramsay says, look, you gotta pull yourself together and everything. It's going to be okay. You got to find somebody to nominate. You know, don't fall apart. And he's like, after that conversation, I know that I'm going to be okay. I'm not going home. And it's like, what? So then at the end, he understands me. Yeah, he looks all confident. He's like, Matt, time for you to leave. I thought that was hilarious. But then
you're an incompetent fool.
Then, of course, we have Jen, who likes to eat food that's...
Well, that's gross.
What is with
her? She's done that, she did it, 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I'll never forget...
After the pregnant ladies.
My friend Ray, his uncle's girlfriend's son would always hang, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" We were, at a Dairy Queen one time, and we ate, and there was people who had their half-eaten food. I guess they left or whatever. He went over there and started eating their fries and stuff. We're like, "Dude, what the hell's wrong with you?"
"Hey, somebody left their Texas toast in this chicken shit basket."
Free fries, man. They didn't eat it all.
I worked at a restaurant, and some of the waiters and waitresses would do that.
That is nasty. You don't know.
They left their white gravy.
What if those people had some kind of, social disease, or what do you call it you ever hear on the news, somebody had something and they had to close a restaurant down? What is it?
Hepatitis.
How do you know that person didn't have hepatitis who left that food there? So Jen probably has hepatitis.
I'm sure.
But anyway, this episode, it's down to three people. It's down to Christina.
Well, you missed Bobby being eliminated, Corey, after Matt.
Yeah, that was kind of weird because even though he didn't do much, he was never in the elimination. He never really messed up enough to be eliminated.
Well, that was
just that one time.
The fact was that he did just enough just to get by every time, and he never tried to show any leadership qualities. But then again, he never followed the leader either. That's why they got rid of him. It was just like, hey,
it just seemed like it seems like sometimes you get more than one chance, I guess. But at that point, he was kind of pointless. You know,
he didn't
have anything to back up all of his big talk that he's the Black Gordon Ramsay.
The Black Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, so we have...
And I love that they flash back to that scene of Gordon Ramsay on the bus from the first episode.
And then you remember how stupid that was?
I think that was makeup by Rick Baker from The Incredible Melting Man.
Oh, I hope so. That was his Ted Nelson getup. No, it was Steve, actually.
Yeah, it was Steve.
"Steve, I want to help you."
They said his full name in that trailer. I was like, wow, he had a full name?
Okay, the coolest thing is Petroza's down to the final three, because we love Petroza.
Who would have thunk, huh?
Petroza, nah, not he.
Well, one of the guys that couldn't remember the menu. I'm done, man, I'm done.
Oh,
I'm
done. Remember that? He was ready to give up, because he just couldn't remember anything.
Then there was the other guy with the head injury that couldn't remember anything at all.
Hey, I'm done.
But you're not done. You're in the final three. And one thing that was cool is Christina, I actually like Christina. And the thing, I kind of think that she has a really good chance to win because she's so young and she has promise. Petroza, he's an old dog. You can't teach him new tricks, am I right? And Corey's just kind of a mess. But let's go ahead and check out this scene. This is the best part of the episode where he tries to tell them they're going to be in charge. What does he call it? On the plate?
Running the pass.
Running the hot plate.
The hot plate. And he gives them each a chance to do that, and he kind of coaches them what it's going to be like tonight, and I thought that was kind of amusing. Let's check it out.
Chef Ramsay offers each of them a little assertiveness training.
"You're a very gentle, caring, big-hearted lump. Tonight, when you're running that hot plate,
nice,
I want you to take control."
Yeah, really?
Okay. I understand.
You have an enlarged heart and you're fat.
"One Wellington. The Wellington's still walking. Let's go."
"Okay. Get back over there and give me another one. Give me another one. I need one now. I need one medium rare. I told you medium rare. Medium rare."
"You told me 15 minutes. I'll put it in."
"I told you to cook one off ahead of time. Period.
Period.
Should have had one cooked earlier."
"So why didn't you check it?"
"It's not my job to check it. It's your job to check it. Do your job and do it now."
"I got the message."
"Do it now."
"I'm more of a quiet guy. I don't like yelling and screaming. So I got to really push myself to do that."
"Okay, Christina, let's go. 2 seconds.
"Yes, Chef."
"When I hand you the reins tonight, this is serious, yeah? I cannot tell you how important it is running that kitchen. I'm bringing you now my one portion of risotto, and it's far too salty."
"Hey, have you tasted this?"
"Yes, yeah."
"No, this is disgusting. This tastes like pepper."
"Oh,
wait.
You need to taste
salty.
It."
"Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good enough."
"Right. You're coming across like a cheerleader. Do you know what I mean? A, B, C. What do we have?" "So I can't take you serious."
"I was personally insulted. I never was, nor wanted to be a cheerleader. I do have that really mean, bitchy side in me, but I need to bring it out."
"Ready?"
"Yep." "What is it?
Medium Wellington.
No, it's raw. That's what it is. I'm sure you can see it from way down there. Now put this back in the oven and give it to me medium well.
Good.
Okay.
Better.
Yelling at Chef Ramsay was a lot harder than I expected it to be, but I did a pretty good job, so I'll take it.
Hey, don't pat yourself on the back, or anything.
Corey, yes?
Chef, I heard Petrozzo and Christina, like, screaming. I was, like, really, really, really nervous because I'm not really such a good actress.
Ready? Nervous? Yeah, good. Don't laugh. Okay. Ready? Go. Oh, sorry.
First of all, you just burned
me. Wasn't she?
Feel the fish.
Yeah.
Feel it. You feel what it feels like, right?
Yeah,
it's raw?
Well, it's firm. Yeah.
Can we fix that?
Mm-hmm.
And the shrimp is raw as well. Can you please cook again?
Stop.
Okay.
Look at me.
Yes.
There's not, please may you cook my dondori. Move your ass, get it cooked again. That's the fourth time now.
It's wow. Actually, you have a dramatic sound check, Mom.
Bang. Easy.
Yeah, got yes.
Right.
It was really awkward to have the tables turned. It just was, like, really hard for me to yell at Chef.
Nice girls don't make great chefs.
I'm not just a nice girl. I need to show him that I am serious if I want to win this. It's not cooked. Take it back. Get off the line. Now!
You told me to cook it like that.
You're out of here. Done. Now!
Okay. Stop. Good.
It's like some kind of, like, weird therapy, you know?
I know.
When you get those reins in your hand tonight, you have got to run it. Otherwise, it will run you.
Now, the thing about... Basically, he's showing them that the reason he's yelling at him is just to get the job done. It's all about the food getting out to the customers.
Right. Getting it out right, not just out.
You have to intimidate.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that the food is right. And that was cool that they did the little test where they mixed up the sauce. And I knew Christina was staying as soon as she caught hers.
Petrozza, the basil instead of the mint.
Corey caught hers a little too late. She already dumped it on
she
the food.
It on one of them,
basically
yeah.
ruined the food so it couldn't go out. But I knew that she, you know, Christina was messing up and burning everything, but she was good at being on the plate, so I knew she was going to stay. I just knew that Corey's positives, it was a real negative that she couldn't bark orders and stuff like that. But the funniest thing about Christina is she started yelling at that guy, that other chef. And he goes, that bitch better watch or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
She's, like, oh. You knew she was doing something right when she started pissing him off. She's like, come on, today, or whatever.
He's chef
like,
Scott.
Yeah, he was like,
Scott, the chef.
He was like, that bitch better watch herself. I'll punch her or something like that. It was like, dude, what the hell? You know, she's play acting, right? So, you know, another thing. I want to talk about the previous episode because I was telling you about this, Bill, that Christina, remember she kept burning Chef Ramsay.
She burned him twice, yeah, with the pan.
But I noticed before he started burning himself, I always noticed he had a rag as he was picking up each pan. He always had a rag in his hand. But all of a sudden he didn't, and he kept burning himself. Why did he put that rag down? Is it because it was all staged that she was burning his hand, or did he decide to yell at her about that?
You would think that there's a possibility of grabbing a hot pan regardless of...
Is Steven on the other side of the room?
No, does my microphone sound weird? How about that?
There you go.
Okay, sorry, bud.
Okay.
No, you would think that, you know, he's running the pass. You're going to have a chance of grabbing a hot pan. So why not have...
I just didn't understand it because I even made a point to look at, even this week, he's not grabbing anything with a bare hand. He just
Well, honestly, you know, sometimes they have to create drama on a show. You know, that's probably what they did. They probably did it in editing. A lot of times they use the same shot. They use...
Yeah, you see the same shot several times in this.
Just saying, I'm just trying to pay attention. I don't know. I didn't pay attention. Is it maybe the meat he doesn't grab because he doesn't think the meat's going to be hot?
Well, no, they put the meat on a serving plate when they take it up to the pass. Sometimes normally that's what they do for a lot of the stuff, but sometimes... he needs something quicker, and they take up the pot, and they don't realize the handle's hot, and it is.
That's why I just kind of wonder. I haven't paid that close of attention.
It was probably an honest mistake on Christina's part. I wouldn't say it was.
Obviously,
I wouldn't say it was staged
deal.
Only because of his reaction.
Well, because
it was
genuine. Because you know, other times they may have you know. Because he was saying, "Tell me when it's hot." Maybe that's when he's using the rag. She didn't tell him it was hot. He's not using the rag.
Maybe they just edited out a sequence.
They probably can't put everything in. Yeah, you're right.
Because whenever it is hot, they come up and say, you know,
hot pan. Hot
behind you, hot pan at the pass.
Because when you're at a restaurant, they tell you that. Hot plate, don't touch it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that.
Because I wonder, like, in the kitchen,
she
you
probably
can't
just
touch
forgot
plate,
to tell him it was hot.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that when you're at a restaurant and the waiter's like, hot plate, and you kind of just touch it, and it is hot as hell, but he's handling all the plates with bare hands? How the hell do they do that?
Well, they call them asbestos hands. You get so calloused from using them so much with the heat and all that that they can't really feel it, or they can hold something very hot for a long period of time.
It's almost like the Incredible Melting Man's hands.
I used to do it when I worked in a restaurant.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Your hands developed like that?
Yeah, I mean, because you'd sit there. You know, I washed dishes. I was a dishwasher. And the water just was scalding hot. Yeah. You know, and so, I mean, you have to hold the plate in your hand and just scrub this thing out. I mean, your hands get used to it.
Okay.
Now if I touch things, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah. It's going back to normal.
You're going back to normal.
Okay, guys. Well, who do you pick to win Hell's Kitchen? I pick Christina.
I pick Christina, and I think what's going to happen is he's going to give her the offer to go be the executive chef at his restaurant or go to culinary school and work at one of his restaurants in London or something.
Like learn?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe learn more and then stay in his business.
Because honestly, what I see, he sees in her like a piece of coal that he can mold into a diamond, a star. That's what he sees. Yeah. I know that's why he picked her. Petroza, he's very competent, even though he's messy, and he could work for him too, I think. I don't know if he'd offer them both a prize. That kind of ruins the whole competition thing.
I honestly don't think that he would ever have Petroza work for him, because if you've seen his he did a special when he was working for his third Michelin star in the 90s called Gordon Ramsay's Boiling Point, and his kitchens are spotless. If anybody even makes the tiniest mess, he just goes ape shit. So I really don't think Petroza would ever work for him being the pig that he is.
Not yet.
Yeah, not there. So Petroza, yeah, I just think Christina, because she's so young and he could mold her into what he wants her to be.
It's incredible.
He'll send her over to his over to Europe to
or just or New
England.
York.
New York. Wherever New York, and let her train for 6 months.
And he even flies them there on the next episode they show. They show, like, a lot of, how many times are they going to do the mysterious person walking through the door on this show?
I know.
And they show the reaction. And commercial. God. Yeah.
It's like, okay, last episode.
One of these times it's going to be, like, rabid lions that come busting through the door. And then just
exactly.
Oh, my God. Something that's slippery and hard.
Okay, let's talk about the two Corys. Now, the two Corys is back. Last season ended with them threatening to kill each other. Corey said something about Corey's wife. Haim said something about Feldman's wife.
Being a controlling bitch.
Being a bitch.
She's allowed to. She's hot.
Bitch!
Well, I mean, it's,
and he was like, "That is my wife."
I mean, what he doesn't really, yeah, that's his wife.
Yeah.
That's like me griping at you about your wife. It's like,
yeah, I go, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, I've got no right.
Yeah, it's just uncool.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
And one thing you learned, I know this show is very staged. I think they're acting, but I do think Corey Haim has a lot of problems.
I don't think he needs to act for that. That is one messed up.
Just by him, he's manic. See, but, he's a chain smoker.
Well, he wants his old friend back, but his friend is married now.
His friend's gone.
You and I used to hang out a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Every weekend.
Yeah.
We don't now, do we? I mean, other than this show. I mean.
Right.
And we hang out, you know, all weekend.
And luckily, you didn't have a friend that raped me.
That would put
some tension in the
relationship. You got married, and I would still come over. We'd watch a movie, and I would go home.
Right. We used to hang out all weekend playing Lethal Enforcers and all
whatever
that stuff.
It was just like
you have a best friend, you hang out with Molly.
Guess
Ryan,
what?
Then you move on.
You grow up. You're gonna meet somebody, and you spend time when you can with your friend.
Corey Haim doesn't get that. He's like so lonely too. He is so lonely. And the thing here is, first they meet at this restaurant. And he's all defensive. He's got that defensive posture. And he's even lying about things. He's not being truthful. Because he's like, tell me about when
the
you...
The Inquirer.
The Inquirer story. He's like, I don't know what that... And Corey Feldman's like, okay, right then, he's lying to my face, so I'm not going to give him anything. Why would I if he can't just own up to that? And then they have this little argument here. Let's check
you
it out.
You know what?
On heavy things.
Put on the man, table, you that all just that? Put you in the ground, kid.
Yeah, okay.
Really, it's not good. Me around you is detrimental for my health, man. You're really, 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 really up in your head, kid. And I really don't want to be your friend anymore.
No,
I can't. I
Corey,
can't. Something
no.
I don't want to be, I can't.
Well, that's where it's at.
I can't.
That's where it's at.
I can't.
Do they at least get dessert?
I'm gonna go.
I think that's
Abe
what the coffee
got
was.
Got his food to go.
Yeah, he got his food to go. And then when he's in the car, he calls and he goes, okay, it was me who did the Inquirer story. And then he's like, okay, I think everything will be okay because there was a little breakthrough there. And they go to see this therapist who immediately...
A marriage counselor.
Yeah, she's like, I see you being in a lot of pain. It's like, oh, how much are you an hour?
Oh, shit, Sherlock.
Did you watch us last season on the two Corys?
I want you to paint a picture. I want to see your pain there. Looking. One thing I want to know is he was supposed to paint something and show it to her. Did he have to pick such a big canvas? Did you see the canvas he bought? It's like this huge friggin' wall
canvas.
Well,
if you paid attention, yeah. All along his back wall, there were six or eight blank canvases yeah. hung up already.
And then he ended up not painting anything. Because when they go to the next session, she said, so how have you guys had any breakthroughs? It's like, we haven't even talked since the last time we were here.
I liked the end of the one episode where he was painting over the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, so intense.
And it's funny, my wife was at the computer, she turned around, she goes, is he painting on a camera? And I was like, yeah, I guess. They have a piece of plexiglass in front of it. It's
thinks
very...
he's a regular Jackson Pollock.
Now, here's another thing. Okay, the show is 30 minutes long. With commercials, I'm going to say this show is about 18 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Do they have to recap each commercial break, with what just happened? There's no time in the show
if
left.
If you're just joining the two Corys.
In the very first episode, they did a recap of last season. I swear, the first episode's 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
There's, like, no new material except for, like, 8 minutes. And then you watch the second episode, and they do a recap of what you just saw. And we don't need a recap. We just got done watching it. What the hell?
Yeah, I laughed. It was so... And you were talking about the... the being raped as
a
child.
Like so, that's so a review headline. Steven said he laughed.
Yeah, one laugh.
No, the about them being raped, both of them, you know.
Well, he's like do you really want to get this out? You really yeah. want to get this out? Well, I'll tell you
being
what.
Molested.
I was being molested by your friend, and you did nothing about it. When he said, well, I was being molested at the same time by someone
yeah,
else.
It was like, who can one up? Yeah, well, I was molested too, and by your best friend.
He's like,
yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's like you didn't
by your best
do anything.
Friend and your dog.
Why wouldn't you do anything? You stayed friends with the guy who molested me. He goes, I stayed friends with the guy who molested me. Don't you see here? I got a pattern here. I'm a stupid guy.
Like we're both 14-year-old kids.
They were both messed up, and obviously they didn't know how to ask for help or anything. Maybe they're supposed to know. All I know is this: when I was 14, I was a friggin' dumbass. If I had like $1 million or whatever, my life probably would not have turned out very well. Because, you could have anything you want.
You'd have bought a go-kart course.
Yeah, I would have a bowling alley.
Ferris wheel.
It's like that movie Blank Check.
Zoo.
I'm like, huh.
That's one thing when he's like, well, I was molested by your friend. Okay, Corey Feldman was really good friends with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
and he stayed friends with him. Corey Feldman doesn't get that much work. He has a really beautiful house. Maybe he's living off a certain payment that he was given. Hush money!
He's not going to be getting any more of that money now.
Well, then when you look on the website, they have the Corey's fighting game, where it's Corey versus Corey.
We were playing that for a little while last
week. Yeah, it's like Tekken or Street Fighter, and they're fighting each other. And I'm like, and then Corey Feldman's wife pops up for the round one or whatever. She's there in her skimpy outfit. And I'm like... How real is this show if they're doing shit like this?
Yeah.
I mean, are they really deep problems?
And then you can unlock special moves.
And I even, yeah. Well, I had to snap out of it for a second because there's a part where Corey Feldman goes, he has a like a poker party. He has a poker party with all of his friends, and he's like, you know, we're going to marriage counseling. Can you believe that? And I was like, you know, that's really uncool to talk about that. They're going through, yeah. I go, what the hell am I thinking? They're on a TV show.
And then you're talking to Gunnar Nelson at your poker party.
Yeah, that guy.
And Nelson is going,
to see he let himself go, isn't it?
And he's agreeing with him. He goes, well, yeah, I kind of see that. Me and my brother.
But
you
I started
know,
thinking how tacky it was that he would talk about the session. But then I was like, wait, there's a camera in the session and they show it on a TV show. So, you know, scratch that.
All's
whatever.
Fair, yeah.
They're both whores, basically, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are
for their show. So
I wonder how much A&E's paying them. It can't be much.
All I know is I'm hooked.
Well,
for the rest
enough
of the...
enough for Corey Haim to move to Hollywood in his own apartment.
Yeah, I was when he was looking for an apartment.
That's
were you guys
a
thinking
fancy
this,
apartment?
Were you guys thinking the same thing I was? How can he afford this?
Yeah.
What?
It's like A&E is picking up the tab.
He's spending all his per diem.
Is he still doing voice work for Sega CD games? I don't know about.
God.
Or...
What well, game know, was that?
You know, if I would like to have Corey Haim on the show, but it'd be cool to talk to him about real stuff, like not have him being on and doing his little act. Remember the last season he was on the radio show? He was just real kind of phony and goofy and stuff. But it'd be cool to just talk to him about real stuff, like, you know, because you can see he's a real person when he's in. I mean, I know I'm being stupid here because the show's scripted, but. When he's in a session just talking to the lady, he seems less manic, and he's just talking about things.
We could talk to him about his movies, you know, like License to Drive, Dream a Little Dream.
Yeah, or that movie he did with Cynthia Rockrock. No, Cynthia Rockrock. How do you say her name?
That's right.
Yeah.
Where they're with bank robbers or something. I don't remember what that was.
I like the one, the Invincible one, or the Undefeatable one. With the worst fight scene ever.
Oh,
just look it up on YouTube, everyone.
No, look it up on my blog. I put it on there.
Oh, did you put it on your blog?
Yeah. What was that movie?
I think it was Undefeatable. It's only available on DVD
in
like
that movie that was out last year.
It's only a DVD in like the Netherlands. It's that bad.
It is bad, but
they only put it on DVD in a country where you can smoke pot while you can watch it.
No, Bill, that's what you and I during the break. Also, we've been doing Clueless Movie Guy.
Yes, we have.
And I had to turn it to a thread on the forum where you ever hear somebody talk about movies, but they don't know anything about movies, so they say they talk just like that guy.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
But it's like instead of Christian Bale, they go, "Have you seen that movie with Batman?" But him and Wolverine are in it, and they do, like, magic, but they hate each other. Have you ever seen that? That's pretty good. I watched it on cable last night, and you're like, The Prestige? Yeah, that's pretty good. But they have no idea what the movie's called or who the actors are. And
it was the thing that made it the most annoying is that where exactly did you get this idea from?
Well, I listened to this – I religiously listened to this podcast called the HT Guys – the HDTV podcast, actually, it's called, with the HT guys. And it's all about home theater stuff. It's all about Blu-ray, home theater setups, and all. It's all just gearhead crap. And it's just, you know, you love to listen to stuff about HD. That's what it's about. But whenever they mention movies, you realize they know nothing about movies. They're obsessed with home theater shit. But when they talk about movies, like they'll go, "Have you ever seen The Stripes?" Oh, yeah, I like that. With Bill Murray from Saturday Night Live.
With Egon from the Ghostbusters.
That's one of my favorite movies. I love The Stripes. And you're like, okay, The Stripes. And they were talking about Back to the Future on the most recent episode. This was after I talked to you about Clueless Movie Guy, Bill. And he was like, "Have you ever, which is your favorite?" And I swear they said the Back to the Future. But he was like, actually, I don't like the one in the future, but the Western one is pretty good. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, when they start talking about movies, it just sounds like you guys love home theater, but do you watch movies? Or
how
do you chapter skip to the coolest sound sequence?
Yeah,
or
I think that's exactly it.
Because I'll never forget him. I forget, was it Swiley or Joker? I forget. Jack Smirking Revenge. But they joked about someone talking about Children of Men, but they're like, "That Children of Men movie, The Children of Men." But on the HD guys, one of them said, The Children of the Men when he was talking about the movie. And I was like, oh my God. But there's certain people that just don't care about this stuff. They don't retain the name of the movie.
That's the craziness of it, is that these guys are home theater
it's
fanatics.
It's all about watching film, but yeah. You get so swept up in the home theater crap that you don't even really, it's about collecting. It's about getting more movies on Blu-ray, but you don't really know that much about the movies.
I mean, you and Bill know a ton more than I do about all the movies.
It's all phony.
And directors.
We all make it up. We're sitting here with Wikipedia in front of us.
You know that one with that guy who was in that movie was out last year?
You know, I'm working with some of the guys, and I'll start talking about it, and they'll go, how do you know this? You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's like,
I know it.
Yeah.
Like, I know songs, from the 70s,
I grew up.
A lot of rock songs.
And I remember high school, this is Texas, so there's a lot of people around me who like wrestling and stuff. But a lot of people would say that there. Have you seen that there, Road Warriors? That Road Warriors movie? You mean the Road Warrior? Not Road Warriors, you friggin' moron. You know, I had to grow up around that shit, and it drove me nuts because I took it really seriously. Like, Road Warriors, The Road Warriors, one of the best movies. It's probably one of my favorite films of all time, and this jackass is asking me if I've seen
that there,
Road Warriors.
Yeah.
It's not plural. And everyone wants to...
It's so funny. It's like people will do that stuff like around me, whether it's family members or people I don't know. And it's like, I want to say, what the hell is wrong with you? But it's like, am I in the wrong that I get upset that they don't know what they're talking about?
Yeah, because I don't want to be a snob about it.
Yeah, or are they in the wrong for not making the effort to actually know title of something?
Because let's face it, it's not important, certainly, in the world, in the whole scheme of things, but it's important to me to a point. Not real, but basically it's just general knowledge that we have.
Well, it's important because it makes you look like an ignorant dipshit.
And it's not even important. It's just something we know and we pay attention to and we store it in our brain. And it's effortless to know stuff.
A common friend of ours, Robert, Robert, you used to live, was one of your roommates.
Right.
You know, me and
Don't
this
you
other
mean
guy.
Ted Nelson.
Ted Nelson. Anyways, me and this other guy, we're quoting like Simpson bits. And he's like, we know this. How do you know all these Simpson stuff? And I was like, how many CDs do you own, Robert? You know, and he was into music, and he'd say so many.
It's not like you obsessively watch them. Watched them and remember funny stuff.
And I said, how many of those songs can you sing? You know, and he's like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. You know, it's like,
your testicles hurt.
So if if
I remember having a conversation once about directors.
Related to something.
This guy was like, how do you know directors and stuff? And I said, tell me your favorite films. He's like, Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3, I love the Superman movie. I was like, all right away, you're telling me Richard Donner's your favorite director. He directed Superman, he directed the Lethal Weapon films. He's like, really? Same guy? And I was like, yeah, right there. If you would have paid attention to it, you'd know it. So go rent Maverick now. You'll love it.
Good Lord, no. Go rent Timeline. You'll really
like
it.
Yes, with Paul Walker. Okay, anyway, moving on. Clueless Movie Guy. If anyone wants to call in as Clueless Movie Guy each week to describe a movie, we'll try to guess what it is. You know, like think of a movie. Have you ever seen that movie with the guy from Grease? He's got really stupid hair, but Wolverine, he's like a hacker or some shit. And Catwoman gets topless in it, dude. It's badass. I watch it on TV. What movie am I talking about, Steven?
Good Lord.
Bill, do you know what I'm talking about?
Swordfish!
Come on!
I was going to see
that
movie, man.
At first, I was like going
where the girl blows
I'm
up and all the ball bearings. That's awesome.
I got Michelle Pfeiffer in my head, Catwoman.
See, Bill and I were playing this back and forth, and all of a sudden, you had this long one. I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
I know. It got so detailed.
It gets intricate and ridiculous where it's like
was it the,
Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman is it.
Perdition one that I was doing.
Yeah, you did Road to Perdition. You had to tell me. I was like, "There's no way I would have got that." Because you were like that retarded guy who runs real fast. I was like, "Huh?" But you were saying force.
Yeah,
I said the retard that runs real fast through time, has a son that sees him kill someone, and he has to run away from the guy that was in prison to watch the lady with the big boobs wash a car. And
I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like,
what are you talking about?
I just try to keep mine like a haiku, like two.
I know, I'm horrible like that. I can't do that. I'm so detail oriented.
But it's cool. The harder, the better, because then it's.
So you say like, okay, the guy who played Shaggy.
Okay.
He was in that movie with that chick with the big lips.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing with computers.
Hackers?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
as
I got
goofy
you.
As that.
Yeah, God, but that's what it is. Shaggy. Holy shit, Steven.
What? Matthew Lillard. Yeah.
Matthew Lillard. Woo!
But what's Jesus? If you put yourself,
well, if
in,
I did, Paul, if I did, what's his name? The
you got to think as like, the, okay, I know nothing about movies. Just take them at face value and think of a movie, and you can only describe them without naming who they are and what the movie is, you know. But yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Top Chef real quick, because Top Chef's over. It's been over for 4 years now, 4 months. I don't know.
Like it.
How long has it been?
2-3 weeks. Oh, shit.
I think the food was better than that. It wouldn't have made you sick. But here's the most disappointing thing. Let's go ahead and cut to, we know that Stephanie won, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to say the show's got me hooked. I'll be watching next season. But the guy we were pulling for, Richard, choked.
Oh, he choked big time.
And I felt so bad that he choked, man, because he
he knew it. He was like on the verge of tears, like, okay, I'll say it. I choked.
And they were like, wow, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
What was the prize? What did they prize on this?
They $100,000 and some kind of magazine about some kind of food magazine, a big thing on you.
Food and Wine magazine, and you also get to go to that thing in Aspen every year, like the big food thing. So
basically, people who are into food and restaurateurs, they know who you are.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying
you can then show off to them and show what you're made of at this thing and get a better job in the industry.
That's what I was wondering.
Right.
Okay. So it's all about kind of, it's all about networking.
People are like,
exactly.
Hey, here's my card. I love your work. I love what I saw there. I'd love to taste your food. But they had the little wrap up show, Bill, where they play clips and stuff, which was kind of amusing. But Richard pretty much said he's opening a restaurant, right?
Yeah, he was already in the process of opening a new one in Georgia, is it?
Right. And I guess we wondered why they went to another place other than Chicago for the finals.
Yeah, that was bizarre for me.
And the only thing I could think of is maybe because they want to keep the winner a secret, so they wait a while? I don't know.
I don't know. Welcome to Top Chef Chicago. We're going to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I still can't believe Lisa made it to the final three, though.
That was a joke. Antonia so deserved that over Lisa. That smug bitch.
I felt so bad for Antonia because you know she's talented. I mean, she's you know she's got to be making bank. She's a chef in Beverly Hills.
I blame the partner she had in Puerto Rico.
Right.
That Long Island chick.
Well, here's the thing. Her downfall was putting all the food on one plate. But isn't that kind of the way they serve food there? Maybe she was trying to make it look like
the local.
The culture.
It was the buffet. I mean, it was a party buffet. Isn't that what you do at a buffet? You get a plate, you go around, you stack it on your plate. I mean, isn't that kind of anal to think that, oh, it needs to be separated?
Right, but Tom was like, it all just kind of mixed together. You couldn't differentiate it.
You know what? He needs to shut up and shave the soul patch.
Yeah. I don't understand why you just have a soul patch with no other
facial. It's the dumbest, like, thing ever.
He doesn't have any hair on his head either,
what it looks like to me is your Hitler mustache, the glue came loose and it fell down to your bottom lip.
It does. It looks like, you know, like a reverse Nazi.
Yeah. You reverse Nazi! How dare you!
Like if you did that thing where you turn your head upside down and paint eyes on your chin.
He'd have a unibrow.
He could have like a, he could do a Hitler impression.
Yeah, put
upside down Hitler.
Two glue-on eyes on his chin. I gotcha. So anyway, they had the little wrap-up show, and they were all like, well, hey, Stephanie may have won, but I may get $10,000 because I'll be voted the favorite, fan favorite. Let's check it out.
It is finally time to find out which
chef is homosexual.
The viewers chose to be the fan favorite. As fan favorite, you will have won the hearts of America.
It's the Jim J. Bullock of Bravo.
$10,000. This season's fan favorite and winner of $10,000 also happens to be our top chef, Stephanie.
What? Bogus!
Bullshit.
The winner wins the...
I'm definitely buying dinner tonight and drinks.
You're so lucky. Yes, for everybody.
Yes.
Stephanie, congratulations. This has never happened on Top Chef where the winner has also been the fan favorite.
That's crazy. I've gotten a lot of support, so I thought, you know,
they should make a rule.
Definitely in Chicago
year.
Fan favorite, but it's great to see that the fans have been enjoying it.
So basically, she's from Chicago. She was on Top Chef Chicago, so the entire city voted for her.
Yeah, I think that the person that wins should automatically be disqualified for the fan favorite. That's just not cool because they've already won. I mean, they're already the favorite.
I would have liked to have seen, like, Antonia get it.
I would have liked to have seen Antonia get it. I thought it was funny that they thought Spike would get it. Like, the guy that got eliminated in, like, week two, he's like, I think Spike will get it.
What was funny is the very first girl who got eliminated, the black girl, you don't even know
Nima.
Who she is. She goes, I think I'm going to win it. And she was just joking, but I thought that was actually funny that she said that because she was only on the show for like a minute.
How does anybody remember it?
Yeah. She's like, I think I'm going to win.
That's the one thing I do like about that show. They pretty much vote incompetency out pretty fast.
Yeah.
Because she was terrible.
She couldn't even make a deep dish pizza.
No.
I mean, when Rocco tastes your food, Rocco...
Rocco Despirito.
Yeah, Rocco Despirito... I would hate
my mama makes my meatballs.
Yeah, I'd hate to get eliminated with that douche on the show.
He is a
gigantic
douche.
Couldn't even keep his own restaurant going. What the hell?
That show was so bad, the restaurant.
The rest-
oh, my
Too
God.
Too bad we didn't have Nowhere in Mulberry when that show was on. But
speaking of a cooking competition show, I've been watching that Next Food Network Star.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
Talk about a train wreck. The people on there have no culinary skill whatsoever. And it's just hilarious to watch. It's almost like Hell's Kitchen and Food Network.
And these people want their own food show, basically.
Yeah. Like, they have absolutely no palate. They don't know what they're doing.
You know what it is, though? They saw that douchebag Guy Fieri won.
Oh, my God. Can somebody please assassinate him?
Can somebody rip the sunglasses off the back of that dude's head and pull all
yeah,
his bling
and then
off?
Shave his head with that freaking... Dyed platinum blonde.
Okay, here's what I want to know. He has a show called Guy's Big Bite, and he wears bling on all of his fingers.
Yes.
Don't germs get on your rings and shit?
Well, no, every time, and that's exactly it. Every time he has to use his hands, he goes, I got to take off my bling because, you know, germs and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want anyone making my food to wear any jewelry, so.
I don't want anyone making my food that has dyed platinum blonde hair.
It looks like he has bald patches because he's burned his scalp.
I know. He's just such a douche.
He is. That
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, it's such a great show, but he's on it, so it makes it terrible. And he's got to taste everything and go, oh, that's money. Oh, that is so money.
Oh, that's money. He's always got to eat with the fork and the knife and gently place... Whatever. But anyway...
Somebody needs to put that fork and knife in his carotid artery.
All right, let's get into the news, Bill. Well, we only have 10 minutes left.
Yeah, right.
Something tells me we're doing a long show. All right, let's do the news!
Do you do drugs?
Huh?
All the time.
No, they do me.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Bootylicious!
Nice one, Steven.
Ted, let me help you.
Help, I'm stuck on I shrunk myself and I'm stuck on this giant log.
Please! Help me!
God.
Such a terrible movie.
Will you please return his call, Steven?
I'll call him after the show.
All right, Ted Watt. All right, Bill. What do we got in the news?
Out of Newsday from Nassau County, I believe that's New York. 6 teens inspired by the notoriously violent video game Grand Theft Auto were in court Thursday on robbery charges after a crime spree that began with a late-night mugging outside a new Hyde Park supermarket.
Oh, no.
The Wednesday night robbery carried over to the early hours of Thursday as the teens paraded down the middle of a Garden City street armed with bats and a crowbar. Wait. Maybe they have Grand Theft Auto confused with Half-Life.
Yeah, the crowbar.
They robbed one motorist and smashed a passing van
with
a bat.
They de-pantsed them, too?
They de-pantsed a van with a bat. It was determined that they were emulating the character in that Grand Theft Auto game, going on a crime spree, said Detergent. Detective Sergeant Anthony Ripolone. It was. I love. There's your.
You're
there's
trying
your
to
thing
combine detective
that there.
And sergeant. Detergent.
Detergent. I know. I'm an asshole.
You must chill.
He's made a new you rank in the office of the police. So detergent.
Detergent sergeant. He's squeaky clean.
Nice.
But I love that he says. It was determined that they were emulating that character. I want to know who determined that, because it sounds like bullshit to me. We got certain admissions from the boy, the detergent sergeant says. All boys were charged as adults, and they are going to prison.
Good.
I don't know if it's federal pound you in the ass prison, but it's prison nonetheless. All right. Seattle, a man in his late teens told police that he knew his roommate in the Crown Hill smoked marijuana when they moved in together about a month ago. But there was too much pot smoking too often. Until last week, when one roommate took a few bong hits, the other roommate had enough. Said there would be no more pot smoking and shattered the bong on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
Tempers flared. Obscenities flew. One pushed the other before they both retreated to their rooms. Oh, my God. The next morning, the bong-breaking roommate returned to find that his Xbox and the power supply had been removed from the stereo shelf. When he grabbed the game console, a liquid ran out that he said smelled like urine. He also found the joysticks had been partially glued in place with a tube of glue that was next to the controls. No arrest has been made when the report was filed. Oh. I like that the report calls the controllers joysticks. What year are you living in? 1980? Did you get one of them new antenna Atari joysticks that are cordless? All right. Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, you know, I don't know why these people can't just leave a game alone. Some bitch named Gail Schlossberg wants confirmation of the rumored rape scene in Grand Theft Auto 4. The rape scene?
There's no rape scene in that.
She can't reach the level of the game that has it.
Drag queen.
I love it. She's sitting there playing the game.
Yeah. Damn it. Where's the rape scene? I need the rape scene.
Her gamer tag score is going through the roof.
Rape
achieving
scene
everything.
Lurker. The Milford State Senator never played GTA, but she fears it's corrupting the youth and thinks a law requiring
you'll be good.
Better warning labels might fix the problem.
Yeah, warning labels work.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially back whenever they put them on the records.
That's why no one smokes, no one drinks and drives, no one does drugs.
That's why when I was 13, I didn't think it was a big deal that I was getting a CD that had parental advisory explicit lyrics on it. Remember when I got that what was that? Use Your Illusions 1 and 2. And it had the parental advisory on it. And I was like, yeah! Yeah! I'm going to listen to that Terminator 2 song over and over!
Awesome.
Rewarding players who carjack and cop kill is bad enough, but points for rape is beyond the pale, or would be if it were true. Nothing's certain, but 4 out of 5 gamer geeks in the blogosphere appear to agree there is no rape scene. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, honey. I know you're trying to make shit up and join Joe Lieberman and Hillary Clinton with all that. Oh, video games are evil, but there is no rape scene in Grand Theft Auto.
Do you remember just me
like,
telling you
just
that,
like
Bill?
There's no sex scene in Mass Effect.
Bill, I was telling you that I was listening on the radio the day the game came out, and it was these guys talking about, have you guys seen these commercials, this thing? You can murder people. You can rape people. It's just horrible. I can't believe they're selling. And I was like, what are they talking about? You can't rape people.
You can anally violate them
and
right there
the
on
thing.
The street.
Yeah. And these guys were on the radio, so there was other people listening going, you can rape people in that game? Well, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
or,
I get
what
you're really
going, all right, I'm going to give you a game.
Yeah, I know. Can I get that at any store? Do I have to go to the adult store down on the corner downtown?
But it's just like ignorance breeds ignorance. It passes it on to the next person. They tell their stupid friends. It's just ridiculous.
Yes.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Yeah, it's it gets to be a little much. And I don't know what the obsession is. Like, do they think they're really doing something in, you know, bitching about video games?
No.
Yeah. All right. Myrtle Beach, a man in Myrtle Beach, a man borrows a car to buy crack, but he steals the car. Okay. What's this about? Myrtle Beach police are searching for a man who borrowed a vehicle to buy crack cocaine, then stole it. A woman told police she met the suspect in a parking lot of the Admiral Inn last week. After a 20-minute conversation, the victim allowed the suspect to take her 2008 Kia Spectra to buy crack. The suspect told the victim he'd give her some cocaine in exchange for letting him borrow the vehicle. The suspect told the victims he would return the car the following night, but he didn't. I guess he got a little busy with his crack. The victim told police that the suspect was from North Carolina and was accompanied by 2 prostitutes when he took the vehicle. Was it Neil Patrick Harris from Harold and Kumar?
NPH.
Wow. Who in their right mind? I mean, granted, they're at some roadside motel. But I go, hey, I'm going to get some crack. I'll give you some if you let me borrow your car with my hookers to go get it.
Do you do drugs?
All right. good Lord. Great Falls, Montana. A quick draw competition between friends sent one man to the hospital Sunday night. you can guess what happened. After the opponent forgot that his gun was loaded. Henry Haviland, 23, was in serious but stable condition.
Oh, how'd that bullet get in there?
Yeah, at Benefits Healthcare on Monday evening. Zachary Enlow, 20, was in jail on a felony charge of criminal endangerment. Police responded to a call about 9 p.m. Sunday from an apartment. The caller said he had accidentally shot his friend. When officers arrived, they found Haviland lying in the alley behind the apartment with a gunshot wound to his face.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Why was he aiming at his face?
Steve, I want to help you.
Ted, no!
In the charge filed against Enlow in Cascade County District Court, prosecutors gave their account on what they believe led up to the shooting. Enlow was visiting Haviland on Sunday afternoon at the apartment where Haviland's girlfriend lives. Both men had handguns. Enlow was armed with a 9mm pistol, and Haviland was a .45 caliber. The two were drawing the unloaded weapons and dry firing at each other.
These guys are really bored. Don't they have
Why don't they just use their hands like in the episode of Space?
If they owned Grand Theft Auto and were playing online, they would be fine. They'd be safe. No one would have a gunshot to their face.
shooting and raping people.
You know who
in the comfort of their own homes.
At least we know who won
the gunfight.
It's
enough to make you sick. Thinking about it.
Yeah. Dude, owned! I'm sorry I shot you in the face, but owned, dude! You suck!
Around 9 p.m., the three met up at the apartment. So after they were done dry firing, they went to Walmart. And then, they went to the apartment again, sat in the living room, while Haviland stood in the same room and dry-fired his unloaded gun into the fireplace. Haviland then pointed the gun at Enloe and pulled the trigger, according to the court documents. Prosecutors say Enloe jumped out of his chair, pulled his own gun from a holster, and shot Haviland in the jaw.
Nice.
There was alcohol.
Why are these guys friends with each other?
Yeah, I know. There was alcohol at the apartment, but police are unsure if the two men were drinking when the incident happened.
Holy shit.
Enloe is at the Cascade County Detention Center. Bond set at $2,500. They're dumb shit.
Would you suggest we shoot them like a dog?
Yes, exactly. Farmingham, Massachusetts.
This kind of ham to eat, man. That's good stuff.
Police said they caught two men Monday who were angling for fish. But guess what? They were too small to keep. Geraldo Jacob, 39, was arrested on charges of assault and battery of a public employee, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. He and another man are also expected to be charged later by the environmental police with possession of an undersized striped bass. Good Lord.
I'll go home and get your fucking shine box.
The Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries says that anglers can only keep a striper if it's more than 28 inches long.
Really?
They said that... the officers in plain clothes but wearing the badges openly approached Geraldo Jacob because they thought the bass looked to be under 28 inches.
Name something that's slippery and hard.
There you go. As the officers approached, Geraldo Jacob threw the bass in his trunk and shut the lid. The officers started writing down his license plate number when Geraldo Jacob grabbed the paper and got into a boxing stance.
Nice.
See here, copper.
I'm a pugilist.
You'll never get me alive.
I'm a pugilist. Put up your dukes, officer.
See?
You and I, we're just going to go round and round here.
Fisticuffs. Well,
you'll never get my fish. Police said that Geraldo Jacob hit DeRosa and then 10 other men, one holding a large knife, rushed towards the officers. DeRosa drew his gun and yelled police to disperse the crowd. DeRosa and the two other officers then struggled with Geraldo Jacob before they made the arrest. So this dude wanted this fish bad.
My yawn because...
Did they ever think maybe he was starving? I mean, honestly... I'm really hungry, man. I need this fish, please. All right. A police officer approached a motorist relieving himself on the side of the road in South Kitsap, Washington. The man explained to the officer that he had consumed a bunch of beers but was not driving drunk. According to the officer, the man said he was slurring his words. This is the best. According to the officer, the man said he was slurring his words because his dentist advised him his mouth was too big for his tongue.
Wow.
That's funny shit. That is a genius drunk. A drunk that can logically come up with that excuse.
And then the cop let him go.
Yeah. Said, oh, yeah, you know what? Now that I see, your mouth is pretty huge, or your tongue is pretty huge. Or no, your mouth is huge, your tongue's very small. That's maybe it's like when I was a kid and everyone said that the old woman from the Goonies actually had tongue cancer and her tongue was replaced with a piece of round steak.
Now back off and let me pee.
But everybody, when I was a kid, that was the thing. That's why she talks funny. She has a piece of steak for a tongue.
I'm about ready to kill you.
All right. A ninja sighting locks down Barnegat schools in, where the hell is this? Doesn't say. Oh, well. A report of a ninja sighting in the woods near Robert L. Horbath Elementary School prompted a brief lockdown of the township's public schools before authorities realized the suspect in question was actually a camp counselor heading towards a costume party.
True, yeah. I'm all judo man.
Shortly after 9 a.m.
I'm just a ninja going to a...
just a friendly ninja going to a costume party.
Shortly after 9 p.m., police received a call from a librarian at the local Ocean County Library branch on Burr Street reporting that a ninja carrying a large sword was running through the woods. Police then initiated a lockdown of the five schools as a precaution. What, was he going to assassinate a student? I don't...
At 9 p.m.?
Yeah, 9 a.m.
Ugh.
The lockdown, which restricts movements in and out of schools, was lifted by 9:30 a.m. after police learned the man in question was actually a camp counselor on his way to a costume-themed day at Russell O. Brackman Middle School. The counselor who was...
Ooh, ninja star to the head! Ow!
The counselor who was wearing a black karate gi and carrying a plastic sword was running late and decided to take a shortcut through the woods.
Did he have plastic? I love that. He goes through the woods, and I climb the trees with my tiger claws.
I just want to know what's going on in the head of that librarian. Holy shit, it's a ninja!
911!
Like, what? Did she watch some ninja movies the night before and had nightmares, or...
I'm beating him! I'm beating him! I'm beating him! I'm beating him! It's not a game anymore, Dougie!
All right. Finishing up the news, it's a ninja! The first question people typically ask when they learn of the premise of NBC's The Baby Borrowers is, yes, what would prompt a parent to loan their children to a reality show? Natalie Nichols did, and she has an answer. I didn't look at it as loaning my kid to a TV show. I look at it as a very important teaching project. It was a way to get a message out. And Nichols 31 knows exactly how vital that message is. In a rebellious act against her parents, she got married and pregnant on purpose at the age of 17. It completely changed my life. I denied myself the experience of being a teenager. Wow, wonder how long she thought about that statement. So I guess this show, The Baby Borrowers, gives teen couples a taste of adulthood and responsibility by placing real infants and toddlers in their care. Nichols and her husband, Chet, oh, that's awesome.
Chet. With that exclamation point.
Like from Weird Science. Had two children appear on the show, Etta, who was 6 months old at the time, and Benjamin, who was two. So, we're going to have to watch this.
Yeah, I watched it the other night.
Yeah, I've seen the promos. They baby to toddler, they go all the way up to teenager.
Preteen to teen. Wow. No, they go all the way up to old people.
That's so stupid.
To old people? Yeah. You're not serious.
No, I'm serious.
So they have to take care of elderly people?
They have to take care of elderly people?
They know that you die before you have to take care of your elderly children?
They have this old lady, they hear... I'm ready for you to wash my hair now.
Is this supposed to be their parents?
She's in the shower and the young girl's washing this old lady's hair.
Do they have to change their diapers?
I need you to sand my corns down.
I don't know, but they have to.
I need you to check my bed sores.
Good Lord. I got bed sores. You're not taking good care of me.
Yeah, but the parents are all watching their kids by short circuit. They're all, you know...
Short circuit. Johnny Five is alive.
By
Sparkalicious.
Closed circuit.
Closed circuit. Thank you. Television. And at any time they think their kid's in danger or whatever, they think that something's going on wrong, they go over there and they can have a chat with the young children, or they can pull their kids out.
Do your job and do it
so
now.
So it's not like they're just left
so
there
it's
alone.
It's not like Kid Nation where they're left in the middle of nowhere.
It's right. Like, hey, it's vacation. My kid's going to be gone on TV for 3 months. And,
I get 2 days away. It's only 3 days. They only get the kid for 3 days.
The Baby Borrowers. Check it out on NBC.
All right, like, last story. This one's important for us, and maybe the HT guys will cover this. You know, everyone loves a big TV.
I love big TVs.
You know, I think the biggest that you can normally buy in, like, a retail store has been, like, 63 to 71 inches.
Yeah.
Well, now...
you can watch The Stripes on that.
Yes, you can. Well, now Sharp has decided to... actually, they've announced that they're going to begin selling a 108-inch LCD TV in September. Now, awesome. How much do you think that's going to be?
$10,000
Yeah, I wish.
Wait, what size
in Europe?
I'm going to say $50,000.
In Europe, now think euros. That's about a buck and a half more than the U.S. dollar at this point. Thank you, George Bush, you asshole. that wasn't a political statement at all. It's just common sense. So in Europe, it's going to cost about $120,000.
Holy crap-tacular.
So
Batman.
Close to $300,000.
Well, no, that's in American dollars. Here they've got to scale it back a bit. So
hey,
it's $185,000 here.
Boy.
Man.
So, yeah,
so if you wait a year, it'll probably be down to $2,000. You know how it depreciates in value, your electronics?
Yeah, those really do, those 108-inch LCDs.
Yeah, because the year later, they're going to have a 216-inch.
What's crazy about this, though, is you know how now the big thing is that 4X HD, where it's like 1920 by 1080p times 4?
Right.
Well, this isn't. It's just 1920 by 1080p. It's only got a brightness
of
400, which is actually pretty low on the brightness scale. Its contrast ratio is only 1,200:1, which is about what you'd get on an LCD monitor for your computer. And the response time is 6 milliseconds, which is actually pretty slow.
You know this quadruple HD?
Yeah.
The thing about it is nothing will work on it for like a long, long, long time.
Not only that, but if you do get one, you have to get an upscaler that costs like another couple grand.
This is for rich guys who just want to have the latest thing.
Yeah. So, you know what? If you want an 108-inch screen, just get a projector for $1,000 and a screen.
Sweeter than the sweetest dessert.
Don't be stupid and waste your money on such crap.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing for, like, a mall to wow people as they're shopping or something.
Yeah, or a freaking stadium. All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news, and let's do the DVDs. We haven't done it in a while. And
Steven, sing it, baby. Oh, sing it!
Here's the thing, Bill. This is an extra long show, and I'm sure my wife and daughter need to come home soon. So I'm not going to rush you, but I'm going to say, let's not pussyfoot around.
So you're going to rush me?
No.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine.
No, I'm not rushing anybody. I'm just saying that we're going to talk about lots of different movies. But here's the thing.
10-4, old buddy.
Every movie you mention has to be done as Clueless Movie Guy.
That's going to take forever.
That guy who was in that movie that was out last year.
All right, let's do the DVDs! Foggy?
Steven?
It's
my Ted Nelson, Steven. I can help you.
Ted Nelson, Steve! It's me!
Let's do the DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
That kind of makes me nauseous.
Honestly, that sounds like my bowel movement from the other night.
Bootylicious.
Good lord.
And I didn't really think about it like that. It was delicious going down, though.
Oh, man.
I love some Chinese food.
This tastes really good. I mean, it tastes like it might be a couple of days old, but, man, it is delicious. And then an hour later...
Yeah, that General Tso's chicken doesn't sit well with my stomach, but I just love it.
I hate the getting woken up. It's 3 a.m. Cramps, abdominal cramps. Yeah. Like, oh, crap. Next thing you know, you're in the bathroom till 4:30 a.m.
Yeah. Really. And it's funny, too, because you'll think, like, oh, yeah, it's all out. And then you get up to go back to bed, and it's like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah. My sheets!
then you have to get in the shower. And
then move to the couch. And yeah. In the morning, you look back in the room and go, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, man.
Then you bend over to clean the couch, and it just goes all over the floor. And yeah, it's terrible.
Good Lord. All right, let's move on to DVDs, Bill.
Enough scatological humor.
It's like, oh, I got abdominal cramps. I need help.
Steve, it's Ted. Let me help you.
I have four Imodiums, Ted.
I have Imodium in my fanny pack. Let me help you.
All right, Bill, DVDs this week.
All right, first DVD, Morgan Spurlock's 30 Days, the complete second season. This is crazy because it's still going. It's still on FX. They haven't even, I think they're on like episode 4, and yet they're releasing the second season this week.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. By the way, I guess I should say the day, July 1st, 2008.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of, I guess it's cool, but it's, I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah. Next DVD is Baby, It's You. Filmed by John Sayles with Rosanna Arquette and Vincent Spano from the early 80s.
John Sayles is an incredible director, so I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's decent.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but it caught my interest just for John Sayles. Next DVD is Batman the Movie. No, not the one with Michael Keaton. It's the one with
Adam West. Yeah, and Burt Ward.
With
love
quite
it.
Possibly the longest, dumbest scene involving a bomb ever.
Oh, I know.
Seriously, that scene takes like 10 minutes to play out, and you're just like, when is the bomb ever going to explode? Oh, wait, I can't get through the window. Oh, wait, I can't go that way. There's a crowd. Oh, wait, I can't go that way. And then there's that great scene of him running down the road with the bomb above his head. Oh, yeah, and then he jumps in the water, the bomb explodes, and Robin's like, oh, no, Batman! So bad.
Isn't that the one where the shark is on his leg and he uses a bat repellent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that movie's genius. You know, that's one of those things that amuses you for the first hour, and the second hour it's like, dude, when's this ending? It's not fun anymore.
No, it's a really terrible movie. All right, next DVD, this one caught my eye because it's my hometown, Blood-Sucking Pharaohs in Pittsburgh.
12 inches from the Minsk Mole.
What the hell was that?
What the hell is that movie?
I don't know. It was made in 1990, and it says, a secret Egyptian ritual lead detectives Joe Blocker and Sweeney Birdwell, great names, to the serial killer terrorizing the city. So there you go. I guess they're searching for a blood-sucking pharaoh in Pittsburgh. And it was made in the 90s, so maybe that's where Don Coscarelli got his Bubba Hotep idea from. DVD that I am really excited to see because I loved the, I don't know if it's an official sequel. I think it's unofficial. But anyways, I loved, City of God?
Yes.
And now the City of Men is coming out, which I think is actually the unofficial
sequel. I think it's called The City of the Men.
The City of the Men.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about it. Haven't read anything about it. Just heard that.
I think I didn't even know it exists until I saw that Roper guy direct it. Review it. And he said that it's not as great. It's still a great movie, but it's nowhere near as good as City of God.
Okay.
You just can't touch that movie.
Next DVD is The Closer, the complete third season with Kira Sedgwick, who I hate to admit this, but I find her oddly attractive. Maybe it's that gigantic mouth of hers. I don't know.
Oh, just, good lordy.
I think she's hot too, actually.
Yeah, next DVD is Daniel. It's a early Sidney Lumet film from 83 with Timothy Hutton, Lindsay Krause, Ellen Barkin, Mandy Patinkin, Ed Asner. I've only seen it once or twice, but I thought I'd mention it for people that are fans of the Lumet. Drillbit Taylor Extended Survival Edition.
Awesome.
With, Owen Wilson, but I think the big star of the show is Danny McBride, who is the substitute teacher that we played that clip of on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He's also in that Foot Fist Way, which looks absolutely hilarious.
You know what? Drill Bit Tear, I know it didn't get that good reviews. I heard it's okay and everything, but it looks funny. I don't know. Maybe they put all the good stuff in there. You know, one thing is that you don't mess with the Zohan movie with Adam Sandler. I thought it was like, hey, it finally looks like a funny movie from Adam Sandler, but everything I read about it is it's just completely a mess, and it's not even funny. The funniest parts are in the trailers. So that movie disappeared quick.
I hear the same thing about Disaster Movie. That the funniest
parts. Oh, God. Yeah, and if that's true, that movie's a real disaster. Holy crap.
It'll be the first time a movie is actually named appropriately.
Disaster Movie. Oh, yeah. You know what's funny about that you say that? Like, it's named Disaster Movie, and you look on Rotten Tomatoes like, funny, it's called Disaster Movie. What a disaster.
And, yeah, I know. That's why I said it. It's like,
I saw on Rotten Tomatoes when Get Smart came out, and it said, some guy wrote on the forum thing, he goes, hey, let's try to guess how many reviewers say missed it by that much in the review. And it is true. They're so, like, uninventive. Yeah, just totally predictable. Nothing's happening in The Happening. Snooze Fest, or, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, Andy gave away the whole movie to me, ruined it. Spoilers.
The Happening?
Yeah. Yeah, well, remember, we talked about it. It just ruined now. So now when I watch the movie, I know what's causing it. The movie's ruined. I can never watch it now.
You know what? I think it actually helps the movie to know. Well, you know what? It's not even a twist. You find out early
it's
on in the movie.
It's not a twist.
It
it's just, oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a conspiracy.
All right. And by the way, Drillbit Taylor is going to be available on Blu-ray.
Ooh. Hey, I have Blu-ray now. And you know what?
Do you?
I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Uh-huh.
And I watched Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
And I watched Rambo. I like Blu-ray, I've determined.
Blu-ray is very cool.
And I just got from Netflix, I got Jumper.
Nice, that's a fun movie.
It's got Mannequin Skywalker.
And he does a really good job, and it's a fun movie. It's a fun, fun movie.
Is it a fun ride?
It's a fun ride. It's a roller coaster.
And you know what? It's got Black Nick Fury in it. So
it does, and that means it's got to be good.
But you know what? Blu-ray has such awesome features. You can turn him white in the special features.
And give him blonde hair.
Yeah, it's quite BD Live. You can do stuff like that.
Wow. Really cool. Next, I'm just going to pass right over that one. Fastlane.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
Oh, sorry about that.
So, if you liked the Fastlane show on Fox
Fastlane is coming out on DVD?
Fastlane, yes.
With the guy who looks like Tom Cruise, but he's not?
Yeah, Peter Facinelli or whatever. He's married to that chick from 90210.
Yeah.
Jenny Garth.
Yeah, until she divorces him.
Yeah, and it has Bill Bellamy and that Tiffany Amber Thiessen in it also.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to get Bill Bellamy in your show.
Oh, absolutely. It helps Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
All right, this I don't understand because maybe months ago, we talked about a release of this. So this has got to be the third or fourth release of it. Heathers, the 20th High School Reunion Edition.
Heathers?
Wow.
Yeah.
My wife's name is Heather.
Yes, she is.
So she hated the movie when it came out, I think.
Oh.
She's okay. Like, I am totally not like that.
Good Lord. But yeah, I mean, this has got to be like the third or fourth release of it.
Is it on Blu-ray?
No. HD is it Blu-ray? Is it popular enough to get three or four releases?
You know what? I like it. Because it has Christian Slater saying his famous line, "Greetings and salutations," and then you can turn the movie off after that.
Yeah. Next DVD is something that I can't recommend enough. I got that Roku player, the Netflix streaming player, which I love, by the way.
Roku Machete?
Yeah, a Roku Machete. And I watched these on it, the Hellboy animated shows.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. Hellboy Animated Limited Edition 2-pack. It has a Sword of Storms and Blood and Iron. I watched both of them off of the Netflix thing and loved them. They were terrific.
They are so much fun.
They have the voices of the people from the films, you know, Ron Perlman, and they even have Doug Jones does the voice for Abe Sapien.
They don't have Fraser's brother doing them.
No, which is terrific because Doug Jones really doesn't get enough credit. I'm glad that Guillermo del Toro is letting him do the voice for the sequel, the movie.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Doug Jones is the body for Abe Sapien, but they were like, no, let's get Fraser's brother to do the voice. But he's an actor in his own right. He could do the voice. And if you listen to him, he has the right voice for it. I don't understand what the studio
That was the
was
other
thinking.
Thing, too, with Pan's Labyrinth. He did all the voices for the people there, but because Guillermo del Toro wanted more of a deep, like, earthly kind of voice, he decided to go with a different voice. But he still learned the entire script and did it, phonetically. And, it just shows how involved he is in the craft.
Yeah, I really think Hellboy 2 is probably going to get overlooked. And there's just too much competition this summer. Too many movies are coming out. But I bet you it's going to be good.
It
looks good.
I just hated those young kids who were at the Hulk. I don't know if you heard them, but when the Hellboy 2 trailer came on, oh, hell yeah!
original. It was the kids from Drillbit Taylor.
So Hellboy Animated Limited Edition 2-pack comes with the two that they did. They're not doing any more. This is it. They only did two. Sword of Storms, Blood and Iron, and it comes with a Hellboy figurine. So
nice!
So I'm definitely going to get it because I just loved these. I wish it was on Blu-ray, but it's not. Even John Hurt does the voice in these for the professor. Yeah. I mean, seriously, everybody is involved terrific.
I would say both of them are so much more entertaining than Hellboy, the first movie.
I have to admit, I loved Blood and Iron. I thought it was one of the more original things. I just really dug it. Sword of Storms is really good, too. But Blood of Iron, I particularly like.
The demon heads attacking him, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was.
The whole thing's fun. And you know what? I'd like to own them.
Next DVD, The Little Rascals in color. Oh, no.
Yes, like colorized.
Yeah, Ted Turner got a hold of The Little Rascals negatives.
Oh, dear.
So I loved The Little Rascals as a kid. My dad would rent them for me, and I'd watch them. Although they were incredibly inappropriate and racist for, like, a six-year-old to watch. They were hilarious. I'll never forget one of my all-time favorite ones.
How were they racist? Are you talking about Stymie?
Dude. One of my favorite ones was one of the little rascals, one of the little white ones, kept going, "I wish Cotton was a monkey. I wish Cotton was a monkey." Cotton was the little black kid. So,
what?
Of course, that in itself is racist. But then there's a magician involved.
Situation.
And the magician's monkey escapes. And when the kid says, "I wish Cotton was a monkey," the monkey throws down one of those, like, smoke pellets. And Cotton gets afraid and runs away. And the monkey sits where Cotton was. And the kid's like, "Holy shit, I just made Cotton a monkey."
Oh my God, that's so bad.
So they carry around this monkey the entire episode thinking it's Cotton.
But you know what's also awesome in a way? The innocence of youth. We were kids and watched that and we didn't understand it at all.
Never
it was just
in our head
entertaining.
Did the racist stuff even show up in our head.
I thought Spanky was so awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I loved Stymie with his hat. I thought Stymie was the coolest. He was my favorite.
Alfalfa always kind of annoyed me, you know.
Alfalfa's an asshole.
Why wouldn't he just punch Butch in the balls and get rid of him?
Oh, and I loved Chubsy Ubsy.
Miss Crabtree.
Yeah. He would always be eating the Limburger cheese, and they would always be like, "Oh my God, it stinks like ass."
Oh, I love that. Oh, Miss Crabtree.
I love the old. I think if you have kids and you want to, you know, show them something.
Hell, great, I want to watch all those.
The
again.
one that grew up to be the. I'm gonna draw. I can't draw his name.
Beretta.
No, not Beretta, but. He hung out with Chubsy. He was the editor for the Daily Planet. You don't know
Perry
that?
White.
Perry White.
Oh yeah, Jackie.
Jackie.
He was in that one movie.
He was in that one
that movie. That guy was in that movie that was out last year.
Yeah, that guy. Please, but, Credo, tell us who it is. You know who all these old actors.
Credo,
Jackie. Damn, I'll get it in a minute.
But I love
you start
the little
thinking,
rascals.
Jackie Gleason, Jackie Mason, blah blah blah.
Jackie Mason.
So anyway, go ahead, Bill. What else?
All right, next DVD is Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns.
Yes, I love those movies.
The unintentional racist title. Guess what? There ain't no white people in this movie.
Huh?
You are definitely going to be meeting some Browns in this movie. Sorry, that was really terrible.
Snoopy Dog.
Wow, Bill.
There is I can't stand Tyler Perry movies.
Watch the language, little boy.
Yeah, in fact, they're unbearable to watch. I think I made a joke on one of Radio Dan shows, who is on Talk Radio X, by the way, who we are no longer affiliated with.
I miss them
still.
So much, you know?
I know. I love Dan and Jessica. I miss them. I wish they listened to our show still, but hey, whatever.
I guess I can understand why they couldn't, but it's kind of lame that they can't, you know?
Yeah. I know.
Because
but,
we still love them, and I have still listened to some of their shows, you know?
In your opinion.
Yeah, so why? But there was a joke I made, something like they were talking about something like a Tyler Perry movie, and I was like, Tyler Perry's Why Don't You Take Me to Tyler Perry Movies? So it's just, I don't understand the appeal. I'm sure there is, but this guy is making so much money making these shitty
movies. I gotta say this, man. As long as he doesn't dress up in drag...
Too late.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Why couldn't he be Tyler Perry and be just a guy in his movies?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's a secret, you know, drag queen.
Hi, this is
Good Lord.
That's Tyler Perry?
Yeah, it is.
All right, next DVD is quite possibly one of the worst movies I've ever seen, although I'm confused, I'm conflicted. One of my favorite Asian directors is Wong Kar-wai, or Kar-wai Wong.
Mine
or
is Takashi Miike.
No. he's done some really terrific movies. And his latest movie is called My Blueberry Nights, and it's his first English language film with Jude Law, Rachel Weisz, Natalie Portman, Nora Jones. And God, is this movie boring.
And David Strathairn.
Yeah, exactly. Strathairn. Yeah, Strathorn.
It's like, I'd want to interview him and go, I only have one question. How the hell do you pronounce your last name? Okay, thank you for your time.
Interview over.
Credo just popped into the chat room and said Jackie Cooper.
Jackie Cooper. Thank you, Credo. Thank you for nothing, yeah. Credo. Go listen to Talk Radio X. All right? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Just kidding. We just have to tease Credo about that. Oh, by the way, before the show, we played Lost in Mulberry, and...
Hit episode.
On the podcast, what we're going to do is that right as this episode ends, Lost in Mulberry will start. You can listen to that. You can also download it at lostinmulberry.com. And thanks to Credo and Mick for that. And good times and great wine. Thank you.
All right, last few DVDs. Let's wrap this shit up. Partners, the James Burrows film with Ryan O'Neal and John Hurt.
You
kind
are
of
amazing.
A,
get the hell out of here.
Goofy, stupid movie from 1982. Saw some of it at one point in time. Don't remember it. But I remember the title. I remember John Hurt looking really, really young.
Was in that movie that was out last year.
Yeah, exactly. Next DVD, Sex and Death 101. Patton Oswalt, Sophie Monk, Winona Ryder, Leslie Bibb, Julie Bowen.
Who the hell?
Mindy Cohn, Simon Baker.
Wait a second.
Mindy
Cohn. Natalie is in that?
Oh, yes.
Rental.
The reason why I remember this, Winona Ryder has a sex scene with a doll, or better yet, a puppet.
We're in this game.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And it's otherwise not a great movie. Sophie Monk, who's really hot, is naked in it too. So
Mindy
check that
Cohn.
Out.
Mindy Cohn.
Huh? Natalie? Mindy Cohn. I wish was, but no. I'm sorry. next DVD is Vantage Point Deluxe Edition. Dennis Quaid, Forrest Whitaker, William Hurt, Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney? Who the hell is Sigourney Weaver?
my dad says that sometimes. It cracks me up. I can't help but say it.
Don't you mean Ripley?
Yeah, Sigourney. But I think Jessica from the Radio Dan Show really liked Vantage Point. But everything I'm hearing is that it's a mess.
You know, I will watch it on Blu-ray because I know it'll look fantastic in HD, even if it sucks.
Well, there you go. HD makes everything better. Oh, except that.
I don't want to see HD puke, man. Wow. You know, what is it? There's a part, you know, funny that I actually say that is we watched recently in HD, No Country for Old Men. There's a part where Josh Brolin pukes, and it is so nasty. It's like, yeah. I mean, it looks, picture that.
Oh, good Lord.
Remember, he's been shot in the gut and blood's leaking out, and he's like, and it's like this big clump, and you can hear it go, as it hits the pavement.
Nice. Yeah, great sound design
on
that.
And it's great in HD, man. Oh, I'm starting to get nauseous.
Yeah, that is really bad.
I love they're holding the bucket, and it just, wow.
All right, so that's DVDs for this week.
Wow, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. And I got to say that I'm pretty sure, when are the George Carlin DVDs going to start getting released?
Yeah, you know, any day now.
Because, you know, we didn't really mention, we played some of it in the intro, but George Carlin thought it was hilarious, awesome. They've been playing on HBO, all of his old specials.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff, man.
Didn't know anything was wrong with the man.
Yeah, that's so weird. These people keep dropping dead, and you never heard anything about it. I mean, my cat.
Yeah, it was like, I think, what did they say? It was heart failure, so yeah. It just.
I didn't know my cat was being stalked by some kind of animal, and. Yeah.
So that's
your neighbor's dog.
Third one.
You know, sometimes, like today, I swear to God, or I think it was yesterday, drove up, we got home. I heard the phantom meow of her as she would walk up to us whenever we get home.
That happens.
And I knew she's dead. She's not alive. And
well, maybe it's a ghost of her. Like maybe
oh, stop
she's
that, Foggy. That's uncool. But
maybe she's there.
Hit to call like ghost hunters up here. And
yeah.
Ghost hunters. Those guys wouldn't find jack shit.
They never do.
We see orbs. Dude, that's dust on
no,
your camera.
No, you know what?
Get
the last
squeegee.
Episode I watched, they were at some prison, and they did catch a apparition.
Stop it!
And they're like, I can't believe it. This place is haunted.
Hey, we can't explain that blurry thing in the corner with the lights off. It must be a ghost.
It's monorail.
Who are the ad wizards?
Yeah.
Looks like a poltergeist.
All right, everybody. Thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
longest show ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Please don't play that. Please. Oh, Daddy,
this is Nashville Star.
Oh, that is torture. Stop. Oh, my God. That is the worst show on television. When I saw that they were doing pop songs on Nashville Star, I was like, okay, the apocalypse has begun.
All right, everybody. That was episode 127 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Also, the longest show we've ever done besides an Oscar show. This is a real show, man. We're back. But this time we're black, just like Nick Fury. Oh, God.
And we love Meet the Browns.
We're actually... We're ultimate Nowhere in Mulberry now.
Oh, God. Do we have to wear eye patches?
Help me!
Wouldn't you just help Ted
you
Nelson?
You son of a
Steve?
Bitch. You just made me blow pop out my nose.
Steve, I want to help you.
He wants
okay,
to help you.
Listening to this show. It gets over. You're done. I don't know if you're at work, if you're at home, whatever. Go to YouTube. Search Incredible Melting Man MST3K. Watch it. You will laugh your ass off. It's
you
one of my
will.
All-time favorites.
Ted Nelson is a genius, is all I have to say.
Steve, Ted, let me help you.
The guy- guy's walking around yelling for his mutated friend like he's going to hear him. Oh, okay, you want to help me?
And the mutated friend just kind of wanders around town. And then there's, I won't spoil it, but there's a moment with some kids that is just hilarious near the beginning of it.
Joe Camel made us do it.
We're young. We're young and we're happy and we're gonna be sad when we find the head.
Yeah. Okay, we're all gonna watch it. But hey guys, thanks, we're back. I'm sorry we didn't talk about Battlestar Galactica. I haven't watched it the last 3 hours of it. You know what, I still like Battlestar Galactica, but what happens is you get distracted, you lose interest in it, you know. Steven, are you out on BSG? You don't care anymore?
No, I watched it.
I'm just saying that I'm finding trouble being motivated.
As into it this season as I have in the past, you're right. They're doing all that, like you said, they're going all into that.
My problem is having Blu-ray to watch or BSG, I think.
They're doing all that, all their little mysticism and stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I've been saying it for a long time, man.
Does your testicles hurt?
Yes, they do.
Yes, my ass is numb.
All right, I want to play a tribute song to my cat, who I'm going to miss very much. It's called, what is this called? Tastes Like Kevin Bacon by I Wrestled a Bear.
What? No.
No, that's not a good one. What do you guys think?
Tastes like Kevin Bacon.
What is with that song? It's called Tastes Like Kevin Bacon.
I will never understand grindcore music. I'm sorry. There's just no... And it's funny because they scream and scream and scream, and then there's this like one melodic part. I guess that's the bit that Brian Posehn does. Where he's like, this is the gay part with melody. So I just... that stuff is terrible.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have that song you're talking about.
You do.
What is it called again? Because it's in alphabetical order.
I can't remember.
I thought you just said it. Metal by Numbers?
Yeah, Metal by Numbers. 1, 2, 3.
This one. Yeah. But, you know, we don't have time to listen to the whole song.
No, we don't.
So
if you want to hear it, go to YouTube. Type in Metal by Numbers.
Yeah. We're just going to have YouTube things. And also remember Clueless Movie Guy. If you know Clueless Movie Guy in your real life, someone is like, hey, man, I just watched a movie with that guy from the Goonies. And there's this dude with a shotgun with a silencer, man. It's badass. But that part when he peeks is gross.
He has some kind of thing that he sticks on people's heads that makes them pass out.
Yeah. I mean, if you know that guy, tell us about it. That's all. If you know this guy.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
I think controls and I think leaves.
That's our cue to just leave, because when we start having to
call us on our voicemail with your Clueless Movie Guys.
Exactly. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Well, go on home. Who needs you talentless clowns anyway? Get out of here.
Wow. Thanks, JJ. Hope the Bishop of Battle sucks you in the video game. Stay tuned right after the show for Lost in Mulberry. And then a song dedicated to my cat.
Name something that's slippery and hard.
Now this is podcasting.
Steve! Help me!
Now, bow down to me!
No way, it's too late for that.
Look! The doctor's locked in combat with two hideously ugly protectors of the Dark Crystal.
You have Will Cody and Ellen DeGeneres?
No, Credo, it's two of those Skeksis. Their thetans are being warped by the crystal. Look! Chained up on the top of the huge crystal! It's Vanessa!
Oh, God.
Don't leave a skid mark in your motherboard, you crazy robot. We gotta help Eddie beat these Dianetic monstrosities.
The one Skeksis seems kind of fruity. I'll let you fight that one, Mick.
Gee, thanks. Credo, look out!
Phew, that sword blow nearly cut my head off. Take this, you Henson reject.
Your punch had about as much effect as a Jericho peanut campaign.
Stall these too well, I reconfigured the Eugene Box Auto Exec Bat File with a piece of this crystal.
Hurry up, Credo! This battle's getting fierce! I'm running low on sound effects!
You whimpering worm!
It's time to make my move.
Uh-oh, I think we're in trouble.
Hurry, Credo! The Femi Skeksis is strangling me with a pink boa!
Go, go, Eugene Bot!
Whoa! Eugene Bot just transformed into a giant anti-thetan war cannon!
Game over, man!
The anti-theonic beams are turning them into humans. Gross.
Just as I theorized, Mick.
At upper levels of Scientology, the brainwashed illiterate, I mean the well-trained initiate, starts to transform into what they really look like on the inside.
Yeah, a big ugly Skeksis.
Like John Travolta and Jenna Elfman. Look, they're fully human again. I'll tie them up.
This would all be lace.
You all right up there, Vanessa?
One thing leads to another.
I knew Uwe Boll would mess up sooner or later.
He's a dumbass.
We'll get her down after we interrogate this prisoner. Are you ready to talk there, boy?
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Oh, no. Not again.
There's a lot more where that came from, Twinkle Toes. We want names, locations, and a Senator Craig free restroom. I really have to go. I can't go to the bathroom in the TARDIS again.
There's no bathroom on the TARDIS.
I think it's very soigné.
We have to stop Uwe Boll before Postal hits DVD.
I'm beast, you guys. You just don't know.
Oh, yeah? Well, how about we convince Germany's Ed Wood to design you an outfit to wear on Project Runway? Yeah, we'll call it Michael Bay as a retard.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm the TARDIS.
Wait a minute, that's not our TARDIS.
Well, watch out, or the incest will get you.
It's the Action News TARDIS.
It seems smaller now, and it's painted yellow.
What's with the goofy music? And look, there's a bunch of shadowy figures inside, wearing hockey helmets and licking the windows.
Harold Mundy and Bubba Bot must have picked up a new batch of OT-7 Commandos. The kids from Whitney High.
It's now the retardus.
I know there's about 10 of them.
You don't seem to care, huh?
Will this fighting ever end?
We'll have to come back for my sister. Try not to move, Vanessa!
Do you think?
It's strange. Just when we think she's gonna be on this show, something always comes up.
Way to break the fourth wall, Bill.
Sorry. Whoa! That fat kid with the drool rag nearly took off my head.
Taste this, Corky. Man, their helmets keep deflecting my lightsaber.
I should have known Uwe Boll would try this. Whitney High is where most Scientologists went to school.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard was a misspelling bee champ there in 48.
He kept spelling phone with an F on the front and a Y on the end.
I want to think. See? Even Bubba Bot knows how to spell.
I don't think we can beat these thetards. They've been completely mind-wiped.
Like Katie Holmes! Bill! Doc!
Look! Another TARDIS!
Get out of my way, sucker! It's the A-TARDIS!
have no time for the jibber jabber.
Mr. T's back! And he brought Steven and Mike Cooper's dad!
No moment, the knife guy!
Oh, we finally defeated all the kamikaze dome zeros. Hey, where'd Carl Mundy and the Bubba Bot go?
They're getting away in the retardus.
What are you doing behind the wheel?
That light doesn't get off my face, somebody's gonna get hurt.
Steven? What happened?
Uwe Boll had T locked up in a cell, so I waited until he went to negotiate on his next set of films. The Grand Theft Auto film starring Danny Bonaducci, Dolph Lundgren, and Skeet Ulrich.
No!
None of that George Clooney bullcrap, Del.
I picked the lock on the prison cell door just as Mr. T was finishing up his work on the A-TARDIS, which he quickly made during a montage out of a food tray, 6 rubber bands, 3 bed springs, an old can of ravioli, and the intestines of a guard he killed.
That's right, Jack.
On our way here, we thought we'd scare Carl Mundy by picking up his archenemy, Mike Cooper's dad.
I'm a combat vet.
He sure came in handy.
Like father, like son.
What's this fool talking about now?
I'll play you Nowhere in Mulberry Old School later.
Has anyone seen the doctor? I mean, Eddie?
What was he wearing?
Purple satin butt pants.
Whoa, we forgot Vanessa. Let's hurry up so we can destroy the crystal. That'll mess up Uwe Boll's plan of brainwashing the Earth.
Hold it, Jason. Look at Vanessa. I think she's pulling off a mask.
It's not Vanessa at all. It's...
Michael Jackson!
Just mention a school of kids and this pedo comes running with a drool bib. That goes without saying.
Bust loads of kids. Give them hot milk, cookies, handcuffs. In a pure, loving, fun way.
Wait, guys. It's a distraction. Look, he's hitting a secret button.
There's a trap door under our feet. And he keeps chanting Mola Elron. He's a Scientologist thuggy.
I could never do something like that.
Watch out, guys. He's throwing watchtowers at us.
I thought I smelled danger.
How do you like the smell? Is it good? So long.